The United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
I can't trust in a political world. Tracy Winbush.
Summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here.
But a night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Get back the heat, it'll be alright. Don't you know it's a pity for days? Can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer.
Cool town, meeting in the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat, looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner of the city. Till I'm wheezing like a bus stop, running up the stairs, gonna meet you on the rooftop.
But tonight is a different world, go out and find a girl. Come on, if that's all night, you got to meet it, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's the pity of the days, can't be like the night in the summer.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on Cinco de Mayo. It's, which means the 5th of May. For those of you who have no clue, it's 5:14, and it is 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600 here in Northeast Ohio. And in studio, I have both Six and Jeff. And I want you to join in. It's Open Mic Monday. The number 347-945-5229. How you doing, guys?
Great.
Yeah, Volt.
Hey, the sun's shining. Can you tell?
Yes. We're not playing happy.
Happy's nowhere to be found.
It's a good day.
But it doesn't mean I can't play it before the day's out, right?
Oh, it's coming. who doesn't know it's coming, huh?
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, you're right. It's coming.
But this was a nice alternative.
Summer in the City. I love this song.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
Uh-huh.
It's a great alternative.
But we had frost this morning. How can it be summer in a city if we had frost this morning?
Hey, don't worry about it.
Okay.
You know, it's not. It's, the sun is shining. See the sun?
Yeah.
Hello,
the sun.
Yeah, sun. Sun.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows.
What is that? I'm going to take your blow pops from you.
You don't remember that song? I'm not sure when it came out. We were kids, probably.
I never heard that one.
Yeah,
I'll have
yeah.
to see if I can find it, if I can make my YouTube work.
Yeah. That was when was that song done, Jeff?
Summer in the City.
Yeah, when was that? Was that in the 60s or 70s?
60s. That's 69, probably.
Loving Spoonful.
Yeah. I loved, man, those Steppenwolf.
Yeah,
that's
all right. Yeah,
that's going next. Come on with me, little girl. All that magic carpet ride.
Yeah.
Close your eyes, girl. Realize, girl.
We got another break. We got like six more breaks.
That was in my music listening history. Yes,
we got a couple more breaks before the day is out. Don't be.
I learned that in college.
Telling people what we're gonna play you next.
I learned that song in college.
Don't be doing that. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229.
Expressway to your heart.
What's that mean?
That's a song.
I don't know anything about it. Good.
Oh,
do you know anything
God.
About it?
No.
You guys got to know about Expressway to Your Heart.
No, I don't.
No, I don't remember
it's
that.
It's the Expressway
no.
to Your Heart.
No.
Oh, you just a tale.
No. It's before our time.
It wasn't before your time.
It wasn't before. Wasn't it before our time?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Before either one of your time, because it didn't
you're
come
too young
the
for that.
70s.
I was out the other day, and somebody tried to tell me that I knew about the VIP. I wasn't old enough to go in the VIP.
No, you knew about
up,
it, though. You just could tell.
I knew about it. Everybody was not allowed to go.
You knew about it.
And I was telling you, remember?
You'd be acting like, oh, my God, that place was closed before I was born.
Like Reed's Arena.
No. Well, Reed's Arena burnt down, but you were alive when Reed's Arena burnt down.
I might have been alive, but
you
I was only
alive.
A baby.
You were alive.
How am I supposed to know there's a fire at Reed's Arena?
You were not a baby.
I grew up in a cloistered household. there was only two radio stations on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
There was a country station out of Akron that my mom listened to, and the AM news station out of Canton. That my dad listened to.
There were three.
And that was the only thing the radio was allowed to be turned to.
He's talking
stereo
about where 99. He was living.
No.
He said where he was living.
No stereo 99?
In my house, where I grew up. WHBC.
No stereo 99?
HBC. And, shoot. Jaybird. I can't remember the name of the station.
No stereo 99?
No.
What kind of mess is that?
That's just the way they rolled at our house. Until I was about 15 years old. Then I got my own radio.
And what did you listen to?
K-105.
And, you know, have you guys ever noticed when we were kids that when you got in the car, you listened to what your parents listened
to?
That's
right.
And you didn't have an option?
Right.
And to now, the parents listen to what the kids want to listen to? Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
No, notice what? You didn't make that
when
clear.
We were kids.
Mm-hmm.
When you got in the car, or when you listened to the radio, or when you watched TV, you watched what your parents wanted to watch. Democracy was not a part of this.
Of course.
Today, parents listen to what their kids listen to. Or what their kids want to listen to. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, but
it didn't happen in my house, so I don't know.
we also let kids watch videos while they're riding now, too.
Yeah, we sang. 99 bottles of beer on the wall. We played 21.
Mm-hmm.
But we sang.
I Spy,
yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Slugbug.
That's road trips, that's how we got entertained, wasn't it?
We mm-hmm. picked car colors, and when your car color came down the road, whoever won is what you did. You know, you counted the cars.
Yeah, we played license plate 21.
What is license plate 21?
You take that. You watch the license plates, and for every license plate that gets 21 that you could count out, you get a point.
Watch for pediddles.
What's pediddles?
A one headlighted car. That's a pediddle.
One headlight.
I just found out recently what a dipstick was.
A dipstick?
Yeah.
In real life?
A dipstick is...
You never checked your oil?
See? I didn't know that.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I know I checked my oil, but I didn't know it was
an oil. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, it has nothing to do with how young she thinks she is.
I didn't know what a dipstick was. I checked
just
my oil.
It has to do that she was quite sheltered from knowledge.
I know it was a stick and you dipped it in the oil. I didn't know it was called a dipstick.
Dipstick.
I call people dipsticks
because
mm-hmm. they're dippy. Hi, Diva.
I'm trying to figure out if that was a dig.
It was.
Okay. At least I knew what a dipstick was since I was 16, maybe 13. Yeah, 13, I knew what a dipstick was.
You didn't know what a dipstick was. How did you know?
Yeah, what? Yeah, because my dad was trying to teach me how to drive in his old beat-up jalopy he bought for $200. And
did
it
work?
It wasn't an automatic. Oh, my gosh. No, it didn't work. It barely got us from point A to point B. But I found out what a dipstick was that day.
What? I not too long ago found out what a dipstick was. I thought a dipstick was people.
See, I think you ought to be required to drive a standard shift to get a driver's license.
I do, too.
Well, can I ask you this?
What?
Why would you do that when no one has a standard shift car?
I got one.
Very few people.
No, a lot of people.
No.
Oh, yeah, the new stuff, like even the Hyundais and things
No, hold on.
Why would you buy a performance car that wasn't a stick shift?
Don't get me. That's what I'm saying. There's not that many performance cars out there.
What about Jeeps, pickup trucks?
They're automatic. The new ones.
There's a lot more of them that
have you seen the new cars, the 2014s?
Mm-mm.
Okay. The 2014 car tells you drive, how to stay in the middle of the lane.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a camera that tells you how to back up. It tells you when to get a cup of coffee. It tells you when you're left or center. It tells you when you're getting ready to head over to the soft shoulder. It tells you what color you have on, and she tells you where to go. Why would you automatically need something that's a standard shift? They don't even let you drive anymore. Pretty soon you're going to get in the car like they did on that movie with Sylvester Stallone. You're going to sit there and it's going to drive for you.
Y'all Oh yeah, they have one out already.
It's gonna park
prototype.
They have cars that parallel park.
Yeah, parallel park.
Hey, yeah, if you have a car that parallel parks itself and it runs into something, who's responsible?
General Motors.
General Motors is going to be responsible for a whole lot of stuff here pretty quick.
General Motors. Is it hot in here? Is it me?
No, it's hot.
No, it's warm.
Did anybody recognize that we still didn't get everybody? GM paid the money back. GM paid $11.5 billion
Jeff,
I just want you to.
We're only 17 minutes into the show.
I don't
show.
Care. That
we're
was
trying to
you,
take it easy.
You said GM.
Aren't we laughing? We're giggling. Ha ha.
Oh, come on.
And you got to bring up some stuff about.
No.
You got to bring politics into. We're not even there.
No, that's
like
not politics.
It's like the correspondence dinner. We're just making fun.
I'm not doing correspondence dinner.
We're just making fun.
Yeah, I'm not doing
we're poking,
correspondence.
We're
dinner.
Just poking fun at people. Mm-hmm. Six got on a
11.5 billion.
Jeff.
Gone.
Jeff, it's too early.
Peed away down the
it's
drain.
It's too early for that
Thank
mess.
You.
No one cares.
We need to talk about the $2,500 horse.
Yeah, we'll talk about the horse.
A $2,500 horse just won the Kentucky Derby. That's pretty amazing. From California.
Do we have any interest in it?
Well, how much are what's the normal worth of a horse that typically wins the Kentucky Derby?
Millions,
at least.
Okay. That horse went from $2,500 to $10.5 million in 2 minutes.
In 2.2 seconds.
Yeah.
And the people wanted it to win because it was just average people that owned it.
Yeah, that's right.
They weren't billionaires.
That's right.
I just
but they knew
go
what
to
they
the
had.
Kentucky. I just want to go to the Kentucky Derby one time so I can wear a fascinating fascinator. Just one time.
Well, you know, Diva, you can wear a fascinator and not go to the Derby.
I do not want to wear a fascinator just around town. I want to just the
I wore one to,
of the Kentucky Derby.
I wore one to the wedding or to a wedding. And I've worn one to church. I've got a couple fascinators.
Okay. Don't wear a fascinator to my wedding, please. Don't.
I'm not promising that.
What the heck is a fascinator?
A fascinator is a small hat that it goes onto a clip that you put into your hair. It's a British.
It's a wimpy hat.
No. There's some bad fascinators out there. Diva, when I go to
Wimpy is a character on Popeye.
Diva.
Who will gladly pay you two steaks
if you give him the price
of a hamburger.
No, Wimpy is some of the people that we have in Congress. That's Wimpy. Diva, listen, when we go to we're going to go to the Kentucky Derby together so we can like be fashion divas.
Okay.
Going to drink mint juleps?
To me?
Yeah.
No. I am
no
full.
Sense going if you don't drink a mint julep.
Why? You need a
I
mint
will
julep.
Try one. I want to try one.
I'm a designated driver.
What are they made of?
Bourbon.
Julep.
Bourbon and mint.
Julep,
I don't know what else goes
julep
down.
And mint.
Really?
Actually, that's a breakfast drink.
Mm. Okay. I might have to think on that. I've never had bourbon before.
I have a question. How much is too much to pay for a drink? Whatever.
But I got to pay for it myself?
There you go. Diva, that was a good one. That was a good one.
I don't know. I mean, I saw at the NASCAR race last weekend, I saw a lot of people drinking $8 cans of beer.
Okay. Is that too much for a beer?
Oh, it's more than I did pay for a beer.
So how much is too much to pay for a drink? And when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, people pay, you know, if there's $5 a shot, there's $20. There are some alcohols that you pay up to $100 a shot.
Oh, yeah.
$100 a shot?
Yeah.
How about Henry the Eighth?
I don't know who Henry the Eighth is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a song, isn't it?
I'm Henry the Eighth, I am.
There it is.
Henry the Eighth, I am. I got married to the woman next door. She's been married 7 times before. And everyone was a Henry.
Henry.
Wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam. No, Sam. I'm a eighth old man. I'm Emery. Emery the eighth. I am to the second verse. Same as the first.
At least I knew it was a song.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Diva, did you know the words?
No. I've never heard that song.
Oh, shoot. That, now, that was before Diva time, before. Way before.
It was mostly before that, my time.
No, no. That was like 66, 65.
Yeah, that was way before my time, but it was oldies.
Okay, let me say
it was
way.
Moldy oldies when I was.
Listen, Jeff, hear me this. Hear this. When I was coming out the womb, you were graduating from high school.
You wish it was like that, Tracy.
You understand that, right?
You wish it was like that.
You graduated, when you graduated when?
74.
Man, I wasn't even out of the womb. I wasn't
That's
even
what
an
I'm
egg
saying,
or a little ovary.
That's what I keep trying
I wasn't
to tell people.
10 years.
So you got
I've been a long line.
You got 10
longer,
years on me.
Live longer
so, yeah.
than.
Yeah, so you are getting ready to retire for real.
I'm retired already.
No,
what
no,
you
no, no.
About?
You're against Social Security. You're against Security.
No.
Yes, you are.
No.
Don't be messing
around. I'm nowhere near that.
Yes, you are.
How old do you have to be to get Social Security?
65.
62.
Oh, 62.
Okay, I'm not going to get it at 62.
That's what I'm saying. You're already 65. You might as well go ahead and draw down that pension.
How many years do you think that is for me?
A day? You got a birthday next month, right?
Mm-mm. Nope.
When's your birthday?
July.
Okay, 2 months. You're going to be 65.
3 months.
You're going to be 65 in 3 months.
I won't even be 60 in 3 months.
Jeff, you can tell that to somebody else. We're trying to. We know. We understand.
Come back, Tracy.
Okay, 74.
You went to Hubbard schools, not Youngstown schools.
Listen, you
at least you know how to, should know how to count.
But no, 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 it's okay. You were born in, you graduated in
so
74.
So, Jeff, that means you're about 55?
A little older.
No, he ain't 55. He's older than that.
57, sweetie.
Jeff,
okay,
you born in 74? Graduated in
74?
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. See, that's what I'm talking about. The school systems are terrible here.
No, no, no. You're 64.
Not quite there.
Jeff, you graduated early, right?
No.
Because you were so smart. You knew everything.
You know what? You know what? Here's the thing. I had that chance.
Yeah. He graduated early. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I had the chance to, but I didn't.
So you were,
because, see, my last 2 years, I started hanging out with the older guys, and we never went to school.
So what I'm saying is, you are 64.
No.
You're going to
be
65.
I'm not even going to be 60 yet.
Jeff, I'm trying to tell folks.
Okay. Whatever, Tracy.
Because you're old. That's why I'm going to call you Uncle Jeff.
What is that? That's what they all call me anyway. That's my name, Uncle Jeff.
I'm going to call you Uncle Jeff.
That's okay.
Because you old enough to be my uncle. My mama told me.
I ain't old enough to be your uncle, girl.
I need to put a handle on it.
Some folks' uncle is younger than them. You know that.
Good morning, Reg. How you doing? 831.
Hi, Tracy. This is Bonnie.
Good morning, Bonnie. How are you?
I am good. I graduated in 1974. And Jeff's going to have a birthday. It's going to be 58 because I am already 58. So that's how it works.
Jeff is 64. Don't be letting just because Jeff can do math quick.
I am.
Well, maybe Jeff and I should be because then we might be able to get our Social Security because it's by the time we get there, we're going to be 80.
Yeah, when we get the Social Security age, you know what they're going to tell us?
They'll move it.
Let the doorknob hit you where the dog should have bit you.
No, Jeff, they're going to move
it's
it.
It's going to be closed. The building is going to be
now
closed
for Medicare.
So what's going to happen when I get there?
I certainly hope all the people that are 50 years old have really saved a lot of money because...
You know what's going to happen when you get there?
I'm moving with Sticks and his wife.
You know what they're gonna, what's going to happen when you get there?
What?
They can put you all back in chains.
Oh, wow. You see that?
What?
Average private sector salary, 49.2. Average government sector salary, 75,000.
Oh, Sticks was reading the newspaper. Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Bonnie? Good morning. It's good to hear from you. You were on my mind, actually, this morning or over the weekend.
Well, I'll be darned. What did you do? What was dirty at your house? What were you thinking about?
Actually, I was reading a magazine called Good Earth.
Oh, that's one
was,
of my favorites.
And it was talking about making
Mother Earth
making
is
your,
good too.
It was that's what's called Mother Earth. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Mother Earth.
And it,
yeah,
Mother Earth. And it was talking about how to make your own paper towels. And then,
someone beat me to it.
And then I went to a I went to a consignment shop on Friday called Echo over on Market Street, free advertisement. And I bought some stuff, and I thought about you. And we have to do it. We have to do a consignment and a resale secondhand, a garage sale show again because it's that time of year.
It is. It is. And the violets are out. So violet
jelly.
We
need to talk about how to do that.
Going to be made.
What's violet jelly?
You know, the little purple flowers that are wild in the woods, and sometimes in our lawns if we don't spray them, you know, for weeds. They grow, and they're starting to come. They're starting with
the rain. I know violets are flowers. The question is, where does the jelly come in?
Well, you pick
violet.
You said, only the blossom.
She said violet jelly.
Violet
how
jelly,
that,
right.
How does that taste?
It's awesome,
purple.
Actually. I'll make sure I get some to the station. You guys can try it.
I'd like to. I've never heard of violet jelly.
It's delicious.
You know how it tastes?
It tastes purple? It
tastes purple.
No, it does not taste purple. I'll tell you what it tastes like. It tastes like spring. If you could, you know when after rain how everything kind of smells? Jelly is a lot. There's a fragrance. It's actually a flower. I mean, you know, there is a little fragrance there that you can taste, but it's not strong. It's like spring. It really is. It's very healthy for you.
Bonnie,
you
just said it tastes like
spring. If you eat those things. You know, I remember a conversation.
To chew on clover.
Well, that's kind of the same. You know, clover bud salve, you know.
They should pick up the clovers and chew on them.
Mm-hmm. South Carolina called and said that in South Carolina, the women that do what I do here have a special name. And I can't remember what it was. I remember we were kind of laughing and I can't remember what he called it, but there's a special name for
that do what?
Women who do, you know, who can and sew and, you know, do the kind of
thing. They call them housewives.
No. You know, today's housewife really couldn't make it very well without a microwave and all the other, you know, things. I mean,
I'm not
the internet
yet.
Less than a year ago. And I don't even have a home computer anymore.
I have
a cell phone, and I'm calling you on it right now, but I tell you, some half the time, I don't know where it's at.
Bonnie.
Sounds good.
That's not good.
I iron clothes, hang laundry. I actually have laundry out right now.
Well, now, I can get with the hang, because when you take your laundry out and put it hanging on the line, your clothes smell so wonderful.
Yeah. So what is your topic today? Just open mic today?
It's open mic. Let me take my break. I'll be right back. Hold on. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Sticks and Jeff and I are still here in studio. We want to hear from you. Again, that number is 347-945-5229. We want to thank everybody that came out and supported Turning Point Counseling on yesterday. We had a fabulous time at Station Square. Had a wonderful meal, great atmosphere. Great people came out, and we had a very, very good time. So if you didn't come, you missed it. Check out for next year, and we'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all-natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff work slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A bill helping Ohio veterans get college credit for their military experience is making its way to the state Senate. The legislation is aimed to assist veterans get back into the workforce more quickly. It also helps in speeding up certification for veteran spouses. Today, the campus forums for YSU's three president candidates begins. Jim Tressel will speak today, Gary Miller on Tuesday, and Mary Cullinan on Wednesday. The forums start at 2 p.m. Meantime, Jim Tressel is up for the president position at the University of Akron. They could even name a president today. The city of Youngstown and its police department are off the hook in a federal civil rights case. Desiree Johnson sued the city after she was jailed for assaulting two Youngstown cops. The court documents show her lawyers reached a settlement late last month. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
When you or a loved one faces a challenge, you need services that only a dedicated and heartfelt professional can provide. Caring Hearts of the Valley will help when family and friends are unable to provide the necessary care that you or your loved one truly needs. Caring Hearts of the Valley offers dependability, true peace of mind, and pure joy to make life easier and allow you to live it to the absolute fullest. Life care services range from companion care and hygiene assistance to 24/7 home care, as well as elder care, skilled nursing services, and more. Kid care from Caring Hearts of the Valley is compassionate, fully screened babysitter and nanny services, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Caring Hearts of the Valley, 6550 Seville Drive in Canfield, bringing more convenience, more dependability, and more peace of mind to you and your family. Call 330-531-6110, online at valleycaringhearts.com, and be sure to like us on Facebook and share with your friends. Caring Hearts of the Valley. touching lives, encouraging hearts.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Today is Monday, and it's open mic. It's Cinco de Mayo, and I hope you're having a day, a good, good day. Jeff, we were talking during the break, and they brought something about Cinco de Mayo was started by Corona.
Yeah, it's an advertising campaign.
No, no, Cinco de Mayo is a Mexican Independence Day.
No, it's not.
Isn't it? No.
So it's about some, it's to honor some battle, but it's not, no, it's not Mexican Independence Day. But
yeah, it's in celebration of the United States. Okay, hold on. Spanish, the 5th of May, it is a celebration held on May 5th. It is celebrated in the United States, primarily in the state of Puebla, where the holiday is called, no, keep on going now. It originated with Mexican-American communities in the American West to commemorate the freedom and democracy during the first years of American Civil War. And it was, and that's what I thought. It says it's a way to commemorate the cause of freedom and democracy during the first years of the Civil War, and the date is observed in the United States as a celebration of Mexican heritage and pride. In the state of Puebla, the date is observed to commemorate a Mexican army's unlikely victory over French forces in the Battle of Puebla in May 5th.
That's what I said.
But they call it. Cinco de Mayo is Mexican's Independence Day.
No, it's to commemorate that battle.
I always thought it was Cinco de Mayo was their Independence Day. How do I know? I ain't Mexican.
But Corona picked up on it and pushed it in the United States to sell beer.
Beer and limes.
I mean, what do people do now for Cinco de Mayo? They go drink tequila and Corona.
The same thing they do for
St. Patty's Day. Yeah, St. Patty's Day. Green beer, and Irish whiskey.
Oh, okay.
You know, people.
What? Hey, Bonnie.
Yes.
What's on your mind? Because you called in. You said open mic. What's on your mind? What's on your mind today? Tell me what's new. You haven't called in a while. You've been working a lot.
Well. Nothing. I was getting groceries this morning. I was in my car. I turned on the radio. I heard you and Jeff, and then I heard Styx, and then I heard Diva talk. I thought, oh, my goodness, I haven't called in there for a long time. So I pulled over, and I used my wonderful cell phone and the technology we have today, and then I thought, well, I'll call and see how everyone's doing. First, it was open mic, and I wasn't sure if there was a topic, so.
There's no topic.
That's why I wanted to ask first.
Jeff is trying to push a topic, but there's
no
topic. No, yet.
I just made an observation. That's all I did.
Jeff is trying to push.
That isn't what I wanted to talk about.
Jeff,
not at all.
What do you want to talk about, Jeff?
Something that these clowns on my Facebook said today.
What?
Well, we're talking about how the state of black people has dropped from being the number one minority to the number three and the poorest. and they want to beat around the bush talking about it's a middle class problem, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, it's not just a middle class problem. It's a black problem. And there's a good reason, because black people are the only ones that don't spend money in their own community more than 3 and 4 times.
You know what I want to talk about?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I want to talk about Hillary's not going to run.
Hillary's going to run.
Hillary's not going to run.
Geffen just got behind Hillary. She's running.
Hillary's not going to run.
She's got the money to run now. Geffen was the Geffen is the paymaster. David Geffen out of the ones that said we're going with Obama because the Clintons lied the last time around when Obama ran the first time.
So what's going to be the difference between the lie this time and the lie?
It doesn't matter. It's their liar, so they own the liar because she needs the money. Okay, she has to have the money. That's why they had to kiss Obama's butt for 8 years here now, because Obama could pay off their campaign debt, and that's what's going on.
Hold on,
because you know Clinton don't like Obama one iota. You can see that. Whoever can't see that, I'll tell you what. I'll be the first one to buy you.
I don't think she's gonna
dark glasses
run.
And a white cane with a red tip.
I don't think she's gonna run.
Like I said, Geffen and them behind it. You got Geffen and them is behind her. She's running.
I don't think she's gonna run. And let me tell you why.
Not unless Obama is able to assassinate her with a Benghazi.
I think the Democrats are going to use Benghazi to throw him under the bus.
And then, but if he throws him, he got to throw her. It's got to be a twofer.
Wait, you can't throw one without the other. Wait. You don't think Hillary's going to run, and then you guys think that Obama will throw Hillary under the bus? Okay, all right.
Do you know why, Diva?
The funniest thing I ever heard.
Yeah, I know, because you know why? Because you don't watch politics. Do you think Hold on, sweetie. Do you think that the Clintons get along with Obama?
No, they do not.
Okay. Now, what do you think is going to happen when Obama wants to go for Secretary General of the United Nations, and Bill Clinton is going to be there vying for the same position, which he's been trying for all the way along? But right now, you have the progressives, even with Mr. Henry Kissinger, that says that Obama is the best chance at a new world order. Now, tell me why you think that that's such a ridiculous thought of what I just said.
I didn't laugh at what you just said, because that's not what was pointed out. What was pointed out was the fact that Hillary is not going to run for president. And
Tracy said that.
That's what I was addressing. But if you follow the Democratic primary and how heated that situation was, and how them two ended up coming together at the end of that, that lets me know that one, President Hillary Clinton and Obama made a deal. She didn't just become Secretary of State for no reason. She didn't want a vice president because she didn't want number two, because it would make no sense for her to be number two when someday she could be number one. That was the deal that was going to be made, that no matter who was going to run against Hillary Clinton, President Obama was going to endorse them if she came on board and brought her supporters along with her.
Okay, let me tell you why I don't think she's going to run. One, Hillary's getting ready to go up in age. She's not gonna. She's already been on the campaign trail, and it took a lot of wind out of her sail. The numbers are going to show that she's going to have to run extremely hard, because it's not going to be a walk in like everybody thinks, no matter who she's up against. And they're going to have to motivate a lot of people to come out and vote, because of how the Electoral College is going to run. Now, she'll probably walk through the primary very, very easily. But heading into a general election, and then she's going to begin to start aging. There's not enough Botox in America to stop that woman from cracking. And at the end of the day, if the landscape continues to be as it is right now, with what's going on in Russia, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in with the oil crisis, all this kind of stuff, I promise you, she's going to back out.
Hillary set herself up for the presidency when she accepted the nomination to become President Obama's Secretary of State.
But Diva, listen, she set herself up then, and I agree. She put herself in position, but too much has happened. Benghazi was not supposed to fall out the way that it did. There's too much going on.
Here's
too
the
much.
Thing, Tracy. Only you righty look at Benghazi as you do. Only you righties do that.
You're missing my point. It's not about the right. Diva, it's not about how the righties look. It's about how the righties spin.
No, not necessarily, because we're not caring about what the conservatives are thinking as far as Benghazi. She's not worried about
that. That's because the mainstream media is not covering it, Diva, on purpose. They've whitewashed the story.
They sure did.
There is
that's
no story.
Yes,
there is a story.
Okay,
that
crazy.
There is.
They've admitted they don't even know where the president was during the attack, that he was not even in the Situation Room. In fact, it's starting to show that he was doing debate prep.
That may be true.
He couldn't break himself away from debate prep to go sit in the Situation Room and run a war, which is his primary job as commander-in-chief.
David, listen, the fallout of this, see, that email that came out recently, that they couldn't bury deep enough so they would not surface,
right?
It brought it back to life again, because Benghazi had simmered. But now you can't walk away from the hiding of it. You can't walk away from the timestamp on it. And the walking away from it, I mean, they're going to have to answer to it. And it's going to affect Hillary Clinton more so than Barack Obama. I don't think he's going to get impeached on it. A lot of people think he will.
No.
I don't think he will.
It's not going to affect. Here's the thing. It's not going to affect her during the Democratic primary. And then by the time the general election comes around, that story is going to be so overtold and so overdone that people are going to just be like, okay, it's a wash. Because
Diva?
The right thinks there's a problem, the left thinks there isn't, and the middle is just going to be like, okay, it's a wash.
Diva, what happened to Richard Nixon with Watergate?
I wasn't even born at that time.
Doesn't matter. You know history.
I have never researched Watergate.
You need to.
All I know
there's
you
a
need
reason,
to because
Diva, there's a reason why every time there's a every time Diva, listen. Now, this, I'm not being partisan. Every time that there is a scandal inside of the White House since Watergate, it's been a gate. There's a reason why. There's a reason why that gate keeps on coming. It doesn't go away.
Exactly.
It keeps on swinging open and closed.
You're right, but if you look at, let's see, President Bill Clinton's gate, Monica Lewinsky gate.
That was a winky. Winkies don't count, but lives do.
Whatever you want to call that
Diva,
gate.
Diva.
All the gates that he had, and he still.
Diva, it's
all
something
he
different.
Had even before
and
his reelection,
but
and he
Diva,
still won.
She's
Diva,
not listening.
Bill
not,
Clinton was impeached.
I am listening. I just don't think
Bill
you guys
Clinton
are reading.
Bill Clinton was impeached,
but
there was no. There wasn't enough criminal act to remove him from office.
Correct.
And
but he was impeached.
What's coming down the pike with this Benghazi thing, with the stuff that's piling up, there are multiple criminal acts that are being exposed.
Okay. See, you guys look at them as criminal acts, but the majority of
Diva.
If I don't look at murder as a criminal act, doesn't mean that it's not a criminal act. You guys are being very partisan and very ignorant about this. If a criminal act is committed, it's going to be brought up on charges, and somebody's going to pay for it. It doesn't have anything to do with somebody doesn't want it. It doesn't have anything to do with it.
Let's place
your
shoe on the other foot once.
Hey, Diva, hold on. Diva. Hold on. Instead of talking across, and let everybody get everybody's thought out. How's that? Can we play like that today? Go ahead, Steve.
Let's place the shoe on the other foot. You've got George Bush in the White House somewhere. Nobody knows where he's at. And you have an attack on a U.S. consulate where an ambassador is killed, and you've got a Democrat House and Senate. Or a Democrat House and a Republican Senate. What do you think is going to be the fallout from that, Diva?
The same thing that's going on now.
That's right.
The same thing that happened when we were lied to about WMD being the top.
You weren't lied. You weren't lied to about WMD.
We weren't lied to.
Wait a minute.
Could you imagine? You imagine if Bush blamed 9/11 on a YouTube video and those planes hit the towers?
And Clinton. Yeah.
Oh man. Go ahead, yeah.
Tracy, this is the deal right here. This is the stupidity of talking to liberals. You can't do it, and this is why. Because even though every Democrat in the Congress, with their own sources of intelligence from around the world, they all read the same thing and they all came to the same conclusion. Now it's Bush only that lied about this. This is the stupid bass awkwardness of people when they want to play partisan politics. This bass awkward, there was no lie. That was the intelligence of every single freaking news, every one of the intelligence organizations in the world, not just ours, not just our allies, even our enemies. Russia had the same information. China had the same information, and they all reported it. Don't start this stupidity again about lying.
Can I please get this in? And go ahead, 440.
The only thing I'm going to say about this, I'd like to know if Diva would let it go if it was one of her relatives that had to endure what those five people did. I want to hear that. It's okay. We'll just let it go. What difference make? If it's one of your relatives, you'd be screaming from the mountaintop, but we're going to forgive it now because it don't have nothing to do with you.
But like the guy told Brett Baer on Fox, dude, that was like 2 years ago, man. Get over it.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Listen, this is what I want people to understand when it comes to what's going on here. If you Diva, it can't go away because what's going to happen is, see, this little email that came up that showed proof that they lied to the American people about this video.
On purpose.
And the intelligence, they knew that it had nothing to do with the video. And in past times, you could say, well, we didn't know, and it didn't come, and the facts actually went underneath the table, and we just found it. But in a digital age, everything is time-stamped. Everything has a footprint on it. And so now you have all these sound bites of Susan Rice going on, the talking head shows. You've got emails that they knew that it was a lie. They knew that they lied to her to go lie to the American people. You've got all this kind of information. Hold on, Diva. Let me finish. Let me finish. And then you have a Secretary Clinton standing in front of a Senate hearing going, that's just too bad. This is how it happens. Get over it. All those little sound bites is going to come back and bite somebody in the butt.
After denying them extra security for months, all that
is logged. All that is actually recorded. After a while, you have to realize that things come together, whether they be right and or wrong. They're going to come together as a swift boat with John Kerry. And as gas prices tend to go up still, and I don't think many people are paying attention to what is going on with gas prices right now, and food is going up now, beef is going up now, all these things are happening now, Hillary Clinton's going to have a very, very hard time defending herself. And I'm not quite sure if she's going to want to defend herself because she really knows the truth of the matter. And you can only lie so much away from the truth before the truth is exposed. And remember, we have to realize that she will lie. Hillary Clinton will lie. We know that. Remember the bullets that flew across her head when she was running against President Obama? And Sinbad came out and said, no, them was flowers. So you have to understand, she would have been prime for the time that we're in, but I don't think she's going to be prime for the future. Go ahead.
Okay, let me ask you all a question then, because I'm trying to get an understanding of what the real outrage is. Is it the fact that this event occurred or the fact that they botched the talking points afterwards?
No.
Talking points ain't got nothing to do with it.
The problem with this is, one, they knew that Stevens was in a bad situation and he had asked for extra security and they did not give it. secondly,
okay.
they wanted to hold on. They were in the Arab Springs that they created, and they needed this to go away because they were heading up into a political season, and he was getting ready to run for president.
And it's, there's also some evidence that Stevens was running guns to the Syrian rebels.
That's correct. But that, but he
okay.
was doing that on
so
behalf. He was doing that on behalf of the administration,
right.
and it was
okay,
not
so
public
Stevens,
knowledge.
Okay, if I'm not mistaken, once Stevens volunteered for that post, secondly, he let go of his extra security in August of 2000, right before this happened. So if he asked for extra security, why would he let his own extra security detail go the month before this happened?
Because, listen, whatever the timeline, even if he let them go, because he wanted, because they knew the embassy was in a volatile place. They knew that. They knew it, and because they didn't, the State Department dropped the ball, which Hillary Clinton was over. The ball dropped in her lap. It was her responsibility. And when she didn't do anything, when they called for help, and then when they actually watched this happen, that was one thing. So there was a mistake that went along, and it could have been just a human error. But when it came around and we found out that there was something wrong, and they brought it up on a video, that was a bigger mistake. Remember, they actually blamed it on a video about Muhammad, and that's why everybody was upset.
And they arrested the man that created the video, which is a violation of his First Amendment's
okay.
right.
And he's still in jail.
Okay, well, that's neither here nor there. But I think you guys are upset about them blaming you on the video when, in fact, it wasn't that. And you guys are saying, okay, that was their cover-up to say to blame it on the video when they knew all the time it was really a terrorist attack. Other than that,
do you realize terrorist attack, Diva? A terrorist attack on American embassy right before the election, and you botched up the
okay.
security detail right before then. Does not make for a good campaign trail.
Especially when
no,
you're saying GM's alive and Al Qaeda is dead.
But Tracy,
I understand what you're saying.
Hold on, Stanley.
Pardon me? I understand what you're saying and how you're looking at it. But I'm still trying to figure out how you figure that because the talking points as
it wasn't a talking point, Diva.
Rolling.
Diva, that's not a talking point. That's a cover up. See, a talking point is me going out and saying, this is what happened. Stevens died, and there was a situation going on over there. But when you stand out on the White House lawn in front of the press corps, blame it on a video, and then send your representative, Susan Rice, and throw her under the bus and have her go out there and talk about the same thing, it does not make for a pretty party.
And put a man in jail for expressing his First Amendment rights.
Okay,
but
I'm still trying to figure out how that will hurt because that does not hurt.
Because people died.
From the left perspective.
Diva,
but
it does.
Diva,
Tracy.
Yes.
The deal is, first of all, you had a country in Gaddafi was fighting Al Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Obama took Gaddafi out and put Al Qaeda in control in that nation. So, therefore, you also have a huge failure of foreign policy with this idiot, and that's why it exacerbates the fact that your ambassador was murdered in the streets. When an ambassador is murdered, the last time we had an ambassador murdered was under the last worst president, Jimmy Carter. It is not a matter of us allowing that to happen without retribution. And these guys sat on the beach in that country for the next 9 months in plain view, bragging about what they did. And they said, we don't have a contingency to be able to go get them.
They did interviews with CNN.
Hold on, Stanley. I'll be right back. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Can you keep the mic open, please?
Wow.
Yeah.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren,
in the southern port city of Odessa.
Hey, Diva. How are you?
Said about one man, but yet they forget about 9/11. Yes, Stanley.
Diva, hello. Diva, how are you?
Yes. Hi, Stanley.
No, you're good, very good. I have to agree with you. I feel like I'm still having a problem. They're explaining all this. Yes, three American people got killed. Yes, and everything. But the thing I don't understand, when George Bush did the lie, so we're going to compare three American people to 3 million Israel, 3 million Iraq people that got killed for a lie. We're going to compare. We're going to compare. We're going to compare 3,000 American people that got killed for a lie to 3 or 5 American people that got killed in an embassy. Really, we're going to go there. I never saw so many. Yeah, I never saw so many attractions, so many focus on Benghazi. We got to resolve the Benghazi thing. We got to resolve the Benghazi. Why don't we resolve the George Bush thing first? I didn't see nobody going berserk. Let's resolve the George. Go ahead.
Stanley, let's not forget 9/11. Who was
let's not forget 9/11.
Everybody's supposed to. Everybody's supposed to know everything. President Bush should have known that 9/11 was going to happen and should have prevented it. How many innocent lives? I'm sorry. That was atrocious, but you don't hear the outrage from them on that. You don't hear them crying over that. And Bush got reelected after that.
Yeah.
So
I don't see no – it's like when George Bush – when we play in the internet here and Jeff saying, oh, well, you know, well, he lied. He don't come with the lie thing. I'm like, he lied. He basically said we were there to liberate those people. He lied.
The intelligence faulty. What's his name? Colin Powell said that, well, with the intelligence that they got, and he realized now that the intelligence was faulty, yeah, he would still use it because that's what he had. But who's to say Dick Cheney didn't give us that faulty intelligence? Who's to say he didn't mastermind all of that?
Exactly, and it opened a lot of things. Like it opened more enemies. And yes, I am not in agreement with what Obama's doing, basically bombing them without cost, which I'm not agreeing. But it all started with George Bush. I'm sorry, it all started with the bombing of George Bush. It all started. We decided to torture people. We decided to put people in prison in another country and say it's justified. This is America.
We're
supposed to be the
example.
This is supposed to be the example of the world that we're allowed to basically not give somebody, even if terrorists, if we can't even prove he's a terrorist, that gives us the right to put somebody else in a prison somewhere else who has no right, and when he's found innocent, what do? We do nothing? Or when we kill him and torture him, we justify that? And when we're spending so many time on Benghazi and no time on this, and if I would have told you in those times we torture people, we do this, if it wasn't for the photos that we got from the press, no American would have, you would have never heard them say, oh, it's true.
All the investigations that Senator Daryl Issa has done, and no smoking gun has come out. They're still waiting for a smoking gun. There is no smoking gun. The fact of the matter is, okay, Susan Rice, they botched. I'm sorry, I read the emails. It didn't seem like I didn't see obvious cover-up. I seen them trying to say, okay, this is how we're going to go about this message. But I didn't see them saying, I didn't see not one thing in there that said, yeah, we're going to cover up. We know this was a terrorist attack. We're going to cover up. They're trying to read between the lines to create something that's not really there. And then they get mad at us because we don't look at it from their point of view. Well, I wonder how mad they're going to be when Hillary Clinton becomes the first female president of the United States. They might as well get their antidepressant and their heart medication and stroke medication together, because that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, I don't understand their focus so much on Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. I'm like, where was your so much focus on? Why didn't you focus so much on the Iraq war? Why didn't you do that focus on that? Why didn't you do the focus on torture? As soon as I bring torture, he's like, yeah, it's okay. It was justified. Really? It's justified to be tortured. It was justified. It was justified to arrest somebody and put him in another country. Really? It's justified to kill 3 million Iraqi people. It's justified.
Well, they're being disingenuous in their outrage. They're outraged because it was a Democrat president. So if it was a Republican president, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
I'm sorry. You go to those countries, ask them people. Do they care about those people and everything? So ask those people. Which one of the two is better? 3 million people got killed or 3 American people got killed? And even if we were to put the army and things like that, they maybe got killed also. George Bush would, if Obama would have done everything that he needed, got the people, yes, get them the Navy SEAL to come. Like, these SEAL could have got killed by so many people.
Check this out. Now, I said that Chris Stevens let go of his extra. Tracy said Chris Stevens asked for extra security. I said Chris Stevens let go of his extra security in August, right before this happened. So if he asked for extra security, that makes no sense. So then she's like, well, the buck stops with Hillary Clinton because she was in charge. Oh, but when you mentioned 9/11 and the Iraq War, oh, now they want to bring up, well, Congress was involved. Everybody else was involved. Oh, but the buck stopped with George Bush.
The buck doesn't stop with George Bush. It never stops with him. It doesn't stop with Dick Cheney. It doesn't stop with George Bush. It doesn't stop with them. And that's the thing I hated. Yeah, fine. If did Obama made a mistake, yeah, maybe he did. But let's not focus on it, like acting like, oh my God, it's the biggest controversy.
Like,
I'm hearing like
in the world.
I'm like, no. No,
like
not the rest of the world was talking about
happened.
That. The rest of the world was talking about our stupidity of hiring a George Bush in president and being the worst president ever to have a stupid war that was never able and having 3 million more people hating us. Because when we kill those 3 million people, you think those people love us now? Those are people who are going to hate us. And I guarantee if we would put any American to tell them, let me kill your daughter and your son. And let's see if you're going to love me after that.
Well, they think that Hillary is not going to run.
Personally, I think I would love to be Elizabeth Warren to run because she was basically cracked the bank.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. And the discussion opened up because I said that I don't think that Hillary's going to run. I think at the end of the day, 2016 is going to roll around. Hillary's not going to be anywhere to be found. They're going to put either Elizabeth Warren or somebody up there, and they're going to open up that field, and she's just going to go into private mode and go out and make money. Her and Bill. I think that she's going to weigh the option. It's not going to be worth the time and the haggardness. She's going to be able to become more effective as a kingmaker than being the queen. And, you know, people disagree with me, but I just think that's what's going to happen.
I don't think it's about Hillary. I think it's about the fact that people just want to see a woman in president. Now that we had a black president, now they think it's time for a woman, so let's just go after Hillary.
But the question is, personally, I think that Hillary being president of the United States would be a demise to this country. And so she'll be the needle that broke the camel's back.
Straw.
Okay, the straw that broke the camel's back. Thank you. I believe she will be that. She will be the nail in our coffin as America.
Well, here's the thing.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, Stanley.
Tracy, good morning, everybody. The thing I don't understand, and I did on the commercial, like Diva is saying, we are basically putting all the focus, and you explain it because we're putting all the focus on Benghazi, but I'm sorry to say, and I'm still going to go back to George Bush, and I'm sorry, Jeff, we are going to go back there. This guy was responsible for more people getting kicked, more people doing this, and we're going to tell the rest of the world that the 3 people or 4 Americans or whatever Americans got killed is more important than the millions of Iraqis people got killed because of a stupid decision that was a lie?
Because
I was going to compare 5 people to
Stanley,
a million?
Stanley,
really?
Stanley. Okay, hold on.
The
Eric.
Millions.
Hold on. Let me explain the difference between what you're saying. See, the war over in Iraq, whether we went in the right way, the wrong way, whether you agree or disagree, it was an act of Congress that gave him permission to go. And all the information, whether it was faulty and or not, whether you believe that we went in there for whatever reason, whatever you believe, weapons of mass destruction were there or not there, it was a whole American shock and awe. Let's go to war and take this guy out. So even if they
that was an invasion that the Iraq War didn't act. That had nothing to do with it. Those people had nothing to do. We had no reason. It would be like
Stanley, you're not listening to what I said. What I said was, remember, you cannot blame one person because he went to Congress and both the Senate as well as the House of Representatives voted for him to go. So Stanley, hold on, whether it was right, whether you believe it was right, or whether you believe it was wrong, America went as America, all together, no matter what. Are we on the same page here?
I'm not on the same page.
President Bush went to war. Did he not go to Congress and get permission to go?
Yes, but it was wrong.
Stanley, did they not give him overwhelming permission to go on both sides?
Yes.
Okay, stop. Just yes and no questions. Did they not come back and ask for more information?
Yes.
No.
Oh, no. Okay. No.
They did not. So the due diligence they should have done before they gave him permission to go to war was on all of America, whether you agree or disagree, whether you like it or not like it.
I disagree.
You missed the point. You might disagree, but we went as one. We went as America.
No, we didn't win as American. We did not win as American because if we were to know what we know now as American, that war would have never happened, period.
Stanley,
there was nobody trying to stop Bush from going over there.
Because George Bush
afterwards, when they got there and they seemingly did not find what they thought they were going to find or what they said they were going to find, that's where you had the protest. That we went in there wrong, but we know where those weapons went, and we were told.
Hold on, Stanley. Because you won't let me listen to this. I said whether you agree or disagree. This is not about a right and a wrong and an up and a down. The difference, and because I'm just trying to tell you the difference between Benghazi.
Wow.
Because there is. Listen to what you're trying to say. Well, we went to Iraq War. We were in these wars. Remember these wars. They went as Americans. It was all of America. We went together. We put our military forces in, and we went as one. Whether you disagree or agree, America went. You didn't come back and say, well, you know, maybe we should have gone. He went on his own. It was an invasion that he did on his own, and he shouldn't have done. That didn't happen there. Hold on. Benghazi, on the other hand, was a back-channel deal that went up in flames. And so it's not about. It's not like they went to Congress.
Wow!
What did you say that they responded?
Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton voted to go into Iraq.
Wow! We know that
she voted for that.
But she voted on misinformation given to her by Bush. Obama voted for it too, Diva.
Obama wasn't even in Congress when 9/11 happened.
He won his candidacy in 2004, not 2003, not prior to that, but he was not in Congress at that time. But Diva, he was in support of it. Hillary Clinton, she did not go in with faulty information, and that's not why she lost.
They all went in with faulty information. That's why she lost.
That's not why she lost.
Diva, is the second in command?
How the heck do you think she lost because they went to war. Are you crazy?
Yes, she is crazy.
That was the reason why
she lost, because she was outmaneuvered.
She lost also because of that. When she was doing the debate and basically Hillary Clinton was trying to trap Mr. Obama. Obama came back to say, well, you know what happened to this war? I didn't vote for that one, and that shattered
her.
A lot of people were surprised. A lot of people didn't know. I didn't even know that bothered a lot of people.
Don't talk this foolishness, Jeff. A lot of people didn't know. I'm trying to talk to people who didn't follow
the Democratic primary all that well.
Trust me, that was a major thing for Democrats. Not maybe for you guys, but it was a major thing for the Democrats. When we heard that, that was a major thing. Because that happened every day, and a lot of people, Democrats, that was like, oh, we didn't know that. Trust me, that changed a lot of things.
You really believe she lost to Barack Obama because of the war? That was one of the reasons, Tracy.
It wasn't the only one. That was one of them.
Can you say Ted Kennedy? I agree with you, Sticks.
Thank you. Teddy Kennedy, can you say it again?
Carolyn Kennedy.
But
can you say David Geffen?
If Teddy Kennedy
would have stuck behind Hillary, Hillary would have been there instead of Obama.
Absolutely. And if David Geffen had stayed behind Hillary, it would not be a Barack Obama presidency.
The tide did not turn towards Barack Obama until Teddy Kennedy endorsed him.
Endorsed Obama over Clinton. Why did he choose Clinton over Obama?
It had nothing to do with the war.
I believe Ted Kennedy voted for it.
You want me to tell you why he did it? He said he wanted to see his brother's prophecy come to fulfillment. His brother's prophecy said there would be a black president in, was it 40 years?
I don't know.
JFK had said there was going to be a black president in 40 years.
You do realize, when did Teddy Kennedy endorse President Obama?
July of 08.
So let me ask you, when was the first Democratic debate for the primary?
It was in early January.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, March, February.
So the fact that Teddy Kennedy held off as long as he did, most top Democrats held off as long as they could, because they're trying to figure out to choose between Hillary and Obama. The consensus started turning from Hillary, starting with President Obama attacking her on voting for the war. That's when Democrats started looking at Obama more so than Hillary.
Because Hillary was trying to do the same tactic that you're trying to say. You voted for the war also. And when Obama said, no, I didn't, that's when a lot of people said, let me check his record. And a lot of people said that was one of them.
But that's not why she lost. That's not why she lost the primary. It didn't have anything to do with the factor.
It's a factor in the thing.
No,
the factor.
It wasn't even a close factor.
Tracy, you could go to any journalist. A lot of
listen. Go back to the debate. And you will see where it began. You got to go back to. She was outmaneuvered because she did not take him seriously.
Hold on.
She was outmaneuvered. So when they went into the Iowa caucuses, and she was outmaneuvered, and then was it Iowa and then New Hampshire?
Yeah.
And then they went down south, right?
Yes, right.
And she began to get out. She began to get outmaneuvered through the caucus procedures.
Right.
And when she went down there,
winning primaries and losing caucuses.
And Oprah Winfrey went to Idaho, or was Iowa, and said Barack Obama, and did all that on the front stage. and people began to look at him a little bit differently.
And
I find it highly funny that you don't think the debates matter, that the debates are turning point.
Candidate. No, Diva. Listen to me. The pendulum began to swing, and when black people found out that this colored boy, who had a name called Barack Hussein Obama, had a chance, and that pendulum began to swing, and money started coming in from Geffen and George Soros and all these back channels. And they came down to New Hampshire, and they began, was it not New Hampshire, but down south. Was it North Carolina, South Carolina?
Okay.
North Carolina.
South Carolina?
That's different when black people started looking at Obama differently, because you're right. Obama got the black support later in the campaign. But what started turning off white liberals, mostly liberals, is when the subject of her voting for the war came up, whether you like it or not.
Yes, that was a big subject in the man. Meet the press and all those people doing the show over and over. You voted for the war. You voted for the war. Jesus, Tracy, that wasn't even a commercial of that. She voted for the war, Hillary. If you
vote for Hillary,
she voted for the war.
No, the commercial was, who do you want to answer the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Am I on? Oh, my
yes,
God.
You are.
All right.
Yes, you are.
Okay, good. This is old news. None of you people really have the complete facts. There is an undercurrent of conspiracy here. Do you guys remember when Hillary and Obama went on a little old plane trip? And then when they came back, Obama had free reign, and Hillary slipped into the background. Do you think
maybe that
might have something to do with it? All this about Iowa, New Hampshire, that kind of got me by surprise, too. A black guy, the only black guy in Iowa and New Hampshire, makes it through two of the first primary states. He gets $1 billion in donations, and people are saying he got the grassroots behind him, and idiots are believing it.
Go ahead.
That's true.
Okay, so I just wanted to say everybody has a point of view. I'd like to hear everybody's point of view because everybody's talking over one another, and I can talk over everybody better than anybody else until I get muted. Okay, so I'd like to...
Where are you calling in from?
Montana.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Tracy and Friends here in Ohio.
Good morning.
Big Sky Country.
So you don't believe that it happened because of the war? Hillary didn't win because of the war.
Hillary, the war, well, the war was part of it. But the thing is, you got to look. You know what my personal thing is? You guys are going to think I'm nuts. I'm going to tell you what I think. I think this world is run by a few people, just a few people. People who have been around for centuries, who have made it their family ambition to rule the world. And I personally think, and I don't have any concrete evidence, no smoking gun, I'm just connecting the dots, that one of them, a Rothschild, said to a Rockefeller, I bet you I can get an American elected in America who's black, nobody knows crap about him, and he has a Muslim name.
And they placed a bet for a dollar.
Hell yeah, like, maybe, who knows.
Like in Trading Places, the movie.
Hey, brother, you know, I agree with you.
1,000%.
I mean, I've read the Rockefeller Files. I've read the Creature from Jekyll Island. I mean, I agree with you 100%.
I do, too.
Because a lot of people don't understand the background on all this stuff. They don't understand that J.P. Morgan got Woodrow Wilson elected by funding Teddy Roosevelt's third-party candidacy.
Yeah, well, I read the Jekyll Island by Griffin, too. I haven't read the Rockefeller Files, but I heard that one of the Rockefellers told Russo that one of the reasons why the feminist movement was created was in order to kind of divide the country and get more money into the government, which, of course, the government is using their money to divide and conquer. The thing is, I go by what I consider to be facts. In other words, declassified documents. Also, there's a book that's out. I haven't read it yet. It's called Betrayal of America. It's written by a woman who took a look at the declassified Russian archives, declassified American archives, and found out through declassified information that during FDR's time, FDR's administration was peppered with spies or Russian-leaning agents.
Yes.
So from that time on, or even prior to that time on, ever since the Federal Reserve, our country has been under attack. So everything that I believe goes wrong in America is done so not Churchill, but FDR, he said, everything in politics is done for a purpose. A lot of
hey, hold on for just hold on just a second. Alabama, your mic is on.
Yeah, I agree with him 150%. I think that the government is ran and controlled by a small select few. I think it was Nathan Rothschild said, you give me a control of a nation's central bank, and I care not who makes its laws. I think this is tantamount. This is why it's not coincidence that we are at each other's throats. Like, we debate Diva and all these different people, because I feel like if people just sit down and say, okay, well, what's best for all of them? There are things I think we can all come together on and agree on that every American wants to see term limits. Every American wants to see a federal balanced budget amendment. All certain things that everybody wants, but it'll never happen. Ever.
I don't care about it.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Eric.
You mentioned this a while back. You talked about a cartoon. I know it's a pretty silly analogy, but remember that cartoon with the sheepdog and the coyote? They punch a clock, try to kill each other all day long, and then at the end of the day, they punch a clock and they say, "You have a good day. You have a good day. See you in the morning."
Sam.
That's what Republicans do all day long. Republicans and Democrats do in Congress.
Look, I have a saying. Too many stupid things done over an extended period of time cannot be done by just stupid people. Okay? There is a conspiracy. How many times do people have to see the Titanic sink in front of them before they start waking up and saying, you know what, maybe the captain of the ship was drunk or they were sabotaged? Okay?
Montana, here's the thing. You used a very few words and got straight to a point, because we've gone around and around about what you said over the past so many years. You're absolutely correct. And people can't see it because they can't see beyond what somebody tells them in a news bite off of TV. And then one accuses the other of being a shill for the other. And then you have this big argument, and you have the big guys laughing all the way to the bank and into world control. And so you think that you're gaining in this country, or that you have a chance to gain, when really, unless a whole lot of people wake up real quick, that's not going to be the case.
Well, and here's the thing: without a system of fiat money, which the bankers control, the politicians, the Democrats can't have an endless social program fiesta, and the Republicans can't have endless defense spending.
Who put us under the control of what they were talking about, what he just made mention of?
Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow Wilson. And what was Woodrow Wilson?
But the thing is, Teddy Roosevelt, progressive Republican, wanted to do the same thing.
What have we been talking about?
Early 20th century progressive.
Progressive, and they're in both parties,
right.
And they are ruining. That's why I did not vote for Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney was no different than Barack Obama, in my estimation. That's my opinion, Trey. So,
well, all of you got it right. I mean, the Democrats and Republicans, Wallace said it decades ago, there isn't a 10% difference between either one of them. Okay, all they are just two different wings of the same vulture. And people, what gets me is that people realize it, but then they keep going back to the polls and they keep reelecting the same scumbags. So somebody tell me why they do that.
Because we're undereducated and we don't understand how to engage in the system and be a participant instead of being a sideline player.
Yeah, you put two wars aside. George Bush was no different than Obama as far as spending.
None of them are. Everybody takes pride with these nonpartisan bills. Well, yes, we came together. We had a committee meeting, and Reid and McConnell. Look at the compromise we made. Yeah, but taxes still keep going up, and the defense spending still keeps going up. So I'm not blaming the Democrats or the Republicans. I blame both of them. And who are they under control of? Lobbyists. And who do they?
As far as defense spending, like, that's the thing with the Republicans that I can't stand is that defense spending is set up where, like, now they're cutting all the military people. They're cutting people. They're not – the technology has gotten to the point they got robot insects now. They don't really need human beings as much. So they're cutting the human beings, and it looks like, oh, well, the Democrats are cutting. It's the same thing. They just – the companies, they're not cutting these contracts. And if they are, they're cutting certain contracts for small – they're not cutting the big ones. They're not cutting – where it really matters to really help the budget, so to speak. So
not,
that is something that I kind of look at like it's a sacred cow. They won't touch that, neither Democrat or Republican. They're not going to cut that. They just cut back on benefits for soldiers or cut back on the amount of people in the military. They won't let you be a lieutenant. You know, that's what they're doing.
Bonnie, your mic is on.
Everybody out.
Bonnie, your mic is on. Hold on. Bonnie, go ahead.
Oh, I had to call back in because I think we need to mark this day on the calendar. I mean, the gentleman that's talking right now, did he say he was from Montana?
Yeah.
Welcome,
yes.
And thank you for bringing that out because I say ditto. I say that John McCain and Hillary Clinton have been working something along with maybe six, maybe seven more people, and they are both R's and they are both D's, and the American people have to start figuring out who these people are and what they're really about. And
that's why the media doesn't report it. Remember, you can't figure out who
exactly.
It is unless you research it. And if you look at your news, your news really locally as well as nationally, they don't tell you anything about anything. That's why you're left in the dark. You guys go ahead.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there, okay? Because I get all my stuff from the local media, okay? They do talk about it. The thing is that people don't understand how to discern between fact and fiction. And then the local
media. Well, that's a good idea too. That's a good way to think about that. But when you're fed by entertainment, with some of the media people standing very close to the entertainment side. It's really hard. I mean, I'm not saying that it makes that it's, you know, we should be more educated about it and we should be looking at it, but it is being deceitful because the media stands very close to the entertainment world and they talk about it a lot.
But they still give facts. They may give their slant on it, but they still give facts. The New York Times, the Washington Post, the Washington Beacon, and the other ones, they still talk about what's happening during the day. They also have editorials, and they also have certain special features, special articles, and you know, they have links which refer to this, and they have links which refer to that. But they also, there's also on the net a website which gives declassified CIA documents, which other articles at times link to. You have to do your research. If anybody's ever said that, I'm going to have to agree with you. It took me about a year's worth,
that's what I have to say. It's like when people say, oh, you can't trust the media, well, then where are you getting your information from? It's not that you don't put 100% of faith and trust in the media. You take what they say, you do your independent research, and then you can form a conclusion of whether what they're saying is actually fact-based, or they're giving a slant on the facts, or they're giving an opinion. So you can't really just outright and say the media because you're getting your information from somewhere. You're not pulling it out of thin air.
Exactly.
And I've been saying for a long time since I've been calling into this show and listening how I tend to get into arguments with Republicans. And I have to sit back and say, you know what? When I look at it, John Boehner and Harry Reid, they act like they hate each other. They act like, but they'll sit down and have tea and go golfing or whatever, sit back, kick, smoking cigars. And we up here really, really mad at each other. We're up there at each other where we're throwing rocks and bricks at each other, want to fight each other, cut each other out. I hate you. And yet, they're putting on an act. They're making it seem like they're not getting along. They can't.
Oh, that's all political. Crap. That's like what the caller said there. It's like what Ventura once said. It's worldwide wrestling. They kill each other in the ring, supposedly, and then they go home and they have a drink. And by the way, hello, Stan. I heard Stan's voice, which is one of the reasons why I called in. And the thing is that, has anybody watched Scandal? If you want to see how government works, as far as I'm concerned, that's it.
You know, if you want to see how government works, really, watch House of Cards.
The House of Cards.
Oh, people tell me that. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it.
Oh,
yeah, you need to watch it, Joe. It's the perfect.
Oh, is it?
So many. Yeah, it's very good.
I'll have to watch it.
House of Cards is more believable than Scandal. Scandal gives you a story and it's entertaining. House of Cards, man, it's like they're pulling their story right out of the news headlines.
How does it compare to The Blacklist? Because The Blacklist, see, I don't watch TV. I watch what I watch on the Internet. So whatever's available on the Internet without me having to pay for it, I watch.
Well, Blacklist, it goes more on the CIA and undercover things like this. House of Cards goes more on the deals that Democrat and Republicans do together to vote on things.
Yeah.
You know, when they're saying we need 20 votes, then somebody else from the party says, okay, if you want to have those 24, you got to give me this and this and this. And it's okay, we'll deal on this. And we always see also some people who are like Tea Party or on principle saying, I will never go against my word. I will never. But when you see it in real life, when there's one part in the show you see it. 20 of them are in the show, so you will never. You better do it.
You know,
the trick, and they put him in a position that he has no choice. Like, you better get that election. Better get the vote that we want. Well, we will make sure that you will get no funding, no money, no thing. You will get none of us saying nothing to you.
You know what? 2 points.
But the most amazing part of that show that I found was seeing how dude went from the majority whip to president. That. Yeah. And how he did that and how he conspired, it's mind-blowing. You have to see House of Cards. You have to see how Kevin Spacey's character wheels and deals and plays games with every single person in Congress, how they will and deal.
You know what? 2 points that Stan brought up was in the media. 1 point, we're talking about backroom deals. Years ago, there was a guy on either Scarborough's show, it was on a radio show, which is what I consider part of mainstream media, and he was talking about how when he was in Congress, I think it was Moynihan, the guy worked for Moynihan, he was talking about how Moynihan would always say, well, look, this is my campaign platform, this is what I'm going to do. And to dovetail from what Stan said, when the time came for him to vote, he said, well, he couldn't do it. And then he was asked why by chief of staff or by people who were on his side. And he said, well, the other guy, my good friend from Carolina came over to me and whispered something in my ear. And he was such a good friend of mine that I figured at this particular time, let me go along.
WSOM 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, iHeartRadio, TracyandFriends.com, and Blog Talk Radio, and we're here to talk about the issues of the day. Right now, we're talking about Hillary Clinton and her running for office, what's happened in the past, what's happened in the future, what's happening right now. It's open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. The number is 330-781-9600. Six and Jeff and I are here in studio. And we've got people from all over the country inside of the box talking with us. And it's always good to have. We got a new caller in, and I'm glad to see him come in. Because, I mean, people are talking all over the country about the same thing. Montana, you got to continue to stay with us for a while.
Yeah, can I finish one point?
What were you guys talking about during the break? What did I miss?
Okay, the one point was I was dovetailing from what Stan was talking about, what all you guys were talking about with the House of Cards. It was in the media, mainstream media, how Moynihan said, now this is hearsay, this is secondhand information, but the guy that worked for him said, why would you do it? Oh, it's who is it? The guy that you He has his own talk show. He used to work for Moynihan. He said that Moynihan told him, well, let's say Graham. Graham was one of my best friends, and Graham came over to me and said something, and he said, well, if I do it now, then I'll be able to get my other things later. And he would do this constantly. So that's deal-making, okay? Those are people going back on their campaign promises because of allegiance to so-called favors. And the second point is that the funding. In mainstream media today, you can read the articles from a few days ago, how these dog and pony show senators are proposing no more funding for the BLM because of what they did to Clive Bunding. But you know they're not going to defund the war, and they're not going to defund the BLM.
And they can't. They can't, but most people, what makes it so bad is our media today doesn't tell the truth on anything, and they don't dig deep enough about anything so that they can actually know, and they get censored. And so most people don't know anything about nothing, and then they go to make an informed decision that's really important, and all they do is cast a vote on two people who've been chosen for them.
Let me disagree with you on that, because as the other caller said, you can read the mainstream media. You have to discern what's fact, what's fiction. You have to discern what is this particular editorial or this particular newspaper slant on it. But when somebody says Obama lied about Obamacare, and they have 25 videos which show him saying, taxes will never go up. You can choose your doctor. It will never go away. And he says this 25 times. That's a fact, regardless of whether the Times or the Post reports it. That's a fact. Now, I know I've been on other shows, and other people have told me, well, you know what? No, that's the newspapers slanting it. No, Obama didn't really say that. Or if he did, that's not what he really meant, because he did say, remember when Obamacare came into onto operation online, that he said that if it conformed to the laws. Now they're trying to make excuses. My thing is, people are just freaking stupid. I've been saying this for years.
Okay, Jeff. See how he called people stupid? See how you call people stupid? It's two different people calling people stupid. He was very, very. He was talking
people in generic form.
He was diplomatic. He had great diplomacy in calling people stupid. Well, see, you just say you're stupid.
I'm not.
Isn't that right, Stanley and Eva?
I'm not a diplomat.
Well,
I guess I'll be
one of those stupid people then.
Diva, if you know what, Diva, you're not really stupid, because you have the capacity really to understand. You really do. But the thing is you just can't deal with facts. And when you get facts,
you just want me to form my opinion or to conform my opinion to yours.
I meant Americans in general. And here's another thing. We're all at one time were stupid. We were taught to be stupid. Take a look at the public school education system. Take a look at it.
Thank you.
Okay? What do we do when we come out of public school?
Mainly, we get a job.
Yeah, we get a job. Mainly we talk back. We go to college, and what happens when you graduate college? 2 weeks later.
You get a job.
You get a job. What happens 2 weeks later? You forget everything that you were taught.
But they don't teach you how to think.
And that's another thing, too.
See, critical thinking is not a part of the American fabric anymore. We don't want you to think.
It never was. How many high schools do you know have a formal course in logic or critical thinking? How many?
None.
Well, what does that say?
Yes. No. You had it after that, because D-Rand School right here did. I remember my father talking to me about that.
All right.
But not many.
Very few.
I mean, what
public schools. Public schools.
Something.
How many?
This is early 20th century progressivism. This was designed by the Fords, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds,
I agree,
and all those people to create an educated worker that was absolutely
right.
ignorant about money. And you keep him in debt, and you keep him showing up for work every day. and you take away all of his desire to achieve anything beyond receiving a wage from his modern-day master. He's a wage slave, nothing more, nothing less.
And the people that are the people that get government checks are government slaves, and they and whoever it is that authorized their check, that's who they vote for.
There you go.
We create a mindset in this country where anybody who wants to get outside of that system gets slapped down by their peer group and told you can't do that. You'll be bankrupt in a month. How many people that you know that started a business, you'll be bankrupt in 6 months. You better not quit your job.
Well,
and it's all a mindset to keep us. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
To lend credence to what everybody was saying, which I had brought up about the stupidity of the American people, there was a woman, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, heard about this woman called Charlotte Isherbyte, I-S-E-R-B-Y-T. She wrote the book called The Dumbing Down of America. She used to work in the educational system as a policymaker, and she wrote the book about how she was present. This is going back to maybe the 40s or 50s, when she was in a meeting talking about how to set up curriculum for the United States, and the person there was talking about, this is what we should do for our math curriculum. And she said, well, no, if you do it like this, nobody will understand. It's a little bit too complicated, too convoluted, like core is today. And the guy says, that's what we want. We don't want people to get it. Now, this is not a conspiracy theory. She was there. She wrote the book. She was in the White House administration.
First Reagan administration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But see, and it goes back to the Rockefellers funding the education colleges, the teacher colleges, so that they would teach Dewey's method of education, which was another form of dumbing down America. Absolutely.
But I got to keep y'all are missing this. I need to keep y'all ignorant, because people who think for themselves question authority. And I don't need for you to ask me any questions. I just need for you to do what you're told.
Well, this is, once again, that this is where I'm always screaming at, because I look at the control. How is it that you can have, and I take us a lot, because the black community suffers more than any other set of people in America. And they do it because they have been bought, and they have been bought with programs and giveaways. And the thing is they refuse to be independent. And when you talk about it, that's when you get slammed, and then you call Uncle Tom and all of this other stuff. When you refuse to be, the person that's going to be dependent. I don't want dependency on anybody. Okay, it's good to work together with others and come to some common goals, yes. But it's not good to when you can't turn to the left or to the right without asking some freaking government official, can you do it, and can you have some money to do it?
But, Jeff, this is the issue. I've got to keep you there. I got to keep you there because, again, if I give you the – there's a reason why they didn't want slaves to read.
It's the basic – condition of the Democrat Party in America.
They don't want you to read it.
How come everybody worries about more about benefits at a job than pay?
I don't know,
because that wasn't
my concern. Well, they're offering it. I mean, I think anybody who's applying for a job.
It's more nanny state stuff. Pay me what I'm worth and forget about the benefits, and I'll buy my own benefits.
I never wanted money.
I understand where you're coming from, but that's the private sector offering benefits. If the economy was much better, don't forget, back in the 50s, you could earn, and I have a book about this, you could earn $3,000, $5,000 back in the 50s, mm-hmm. in the early 60s, and with that $5,000, you could buy either a two-bedroom house or a two-car garage house, mm-hmm. I forget which now. You had money left over, you had a wife, you had a car, and you only paid $240 a year in income tax. Okay, those were the times where you couldn't earn money, but in today's inflation, the nominal real inflation
right.
rate, it's nothing, $5,000. But you had a car, a wife who didn't work, either a two-car garage or a two-bedroom house, I forget which, and only paid $240 in income tax because of the economics of then as opposed to the economics of today. Now, how do we get, how do we transition from there to here? Congress.
I would disagree with you. I would say the Federal Reserve has brought us here. Because if you look at nominal inflation rate 1789 to 1917, it was almost zero.
Right.
Well,
and your wages
right.
didn't increase, but your buying power increased every year with
right.
what you
the
were earning.
Power decreased. The buying power decreased.
Right.
The thing is, you're right, but the Federal Reserve is bought by Congress, and Congress is bought by the Federal Reserve. Did you know that
right.
if you were actually going to take a look at the Federal Reserve and compare it with the other Fortune 100 companies, they earn approximately, not earn, the profit is about, on average, from like $40 billion dollars a year, and they give around $19
right.
billion dollars of it back to Congress. So who's being bought?
Yes,
right.
Yes.
I mean, I agree, because
wow.
you can't do what they're doing with a government without a fiat currency.
I heard a guy Friday actually say that the QE3 has worked brilliantly.
Who said that?
One of the guys on a financial show, because he was talking about that we had the three corrections in the market, and now the market is pretty much where it's supposed to be, and we haven't seen much inflation. And I'm up there saying,
but,
you've got to be out of your
but
mind.
Jeff, they lie about the unemployment numbers, and they lie about the inflation numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is
if everybody in the United States quits looking for a job, the unemployment rate's zero.
That's
well, yeah.
Right.
And two, they took food and energy out of the consumer price
the CPI,
index. Now, I'm sorry
yeah.
for middle class mm-hmm. people and lower and upper low class people. What's the majority of your wages spent on? Food and energy.
Mm-hmm.
You got to heat. You got to heat.
Well,
you got
to heat your house. You got to buy groceries.
And you got to drive.
Let me ask you a question, because here in Columbus, I'm starting to see green signs go up everywhere. I haven't seen it in I don't know how long. Every single job, every single business I go to. It's hiring, from McDonald's, Dollar General, Family Dollar, Walmart, even my local grocery store. Every place is hiring. So if all these people fell off from looking for work, and I know it's not the best pay of jobs, how come they're having such a difficult time filling the jobs that they're trying to fill right now?
Can I take a crack at this?
Yeah.
92.5% of the people, 92.5 million people in America are not employed. That is a hell of a lot of people that can work and cannot find work or find meaningful work.
And there's another portion to that, too. There's a lot of middle-aged guys with my skill set that I'm not going to go to work at Dollar General because I can make twice as much money under the table.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of people working under the table.
Yeah, but also to answer her question directly, there are people out there who have hire signs out there, and they have ads in the paper, and they're not being filled. Now, one of the reasons is because when you go in for the job, if you're overqualified, they're not going to hire you. Okay? Also, there are immigrants over here who will take the job for $4 an hour. Then that sign comes down. Also, the owner who's putting up that sign, he knows that he has to pay an American $8, $10 an hour, whatever the minimum wage is in that particular state. And an American knows it, too. And they want that particular wage. But this guy's waiting for somebody to come in so that he can pay him or her $4, $5, $6 an hour, because immigrants don't squeal.
Ooh.
That's true.
Thank you for answering my question directly.
Let me ask Montana.
Stan knows me, but I usually add some controversy to a show. Remember we were talking about how the public educational system dumbs us down? There's another
yes.
thing, too. The reason why women nowadays are the way that they are is because of the feminist type of philosophy that's been taught in the liberal colleges since the 1970s. I just thought I'd throw that in there just in case. Because this,
here,
this conversation
here,
was being a little bit
man.
Too.
I don't think mostly anybody on this show would disagree with that.
Ah, crap. I was trying to stir
here,
up a hornet.
Here, my good man. Here.
I mean, Janetta from Montana, let me tell you something.
You
have to understand where you are. This is Tracy and Friends. We're a little weird here. And you're not going to get a whole lot of fight unless you say something like, you know, fat people are sexy, then Stanley will go off. And outside of that, you know, we're pretty...
There are some sexy fat people.
You missed my point, Jess. I said
oh
Stanley will go
God.
Off.
Because
Stanley doesn't want anybody to be over 10% fat.
You never heard that song
well,
called Big
Al? Well, he's 5'11 and 185 pounds.
What about fat bottom girls?
Do you know Stanley?
Oh, I know Stanley.
Yes,
Stanley and
yes
I
we know each other personally. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we know each other.
Oh, yeah.
I know
oh, my
Joe.
God.
He's the most direct, honest person I could call.
You know Stanley?
That's being diplomatic.
Stanley, I'm not the most direct, honest person.
Well, like
yeah, you're one of them. You're one of them, Jeff. But he brings. I'm very happy he called in because he's very blunt of what he says, and I agree on 90% what he says.
Yeah,
so.
we agree with each other 90% when it comes to relationships. I didn't know Stanley was this involved
wow.
in politics, but I'm glad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Oh,
well,
so
this is
y'all know
each other.
Yeah.
And you're in London.
Okay. Yes. Hold on, guys. Mr. Dover's on. Yes, Mr. Dover. How you doing, darling?
Just fine. I want to tell you about a double whammy that we could be hit with tomorrow because we've got issue one, which gives Kasich the power to sell $1.8 billion worth of bonds, and that's $1.8 million worth of bonds plus interest that we got to pay back over the next 30 years. And we just don't know what our economy is going to be over the next 30 years.
Can I
so anyway,
you?
And then Obama
hold on.
Has passed a law all right. that all states can put up toll booths on how all the interstate highways. So we're going to get hit devil if we do not knock down issue one tomorrow on this ballot. So get that across to the people real quickly, and then we're going to have a toll booth. Have a great day. I agree
thanks,
with
Mr. Dover.
I'm agreeing with Jeff. I'm listening to you all, and you're right. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mr. Dover.
Bye-bye. All right, this show is...
What did he say again? I didn't quite hear him.
He's talking about... Mr. Dover's talking about issue one. It's on the ballot tomorrow. Issue one is... And I have to look at it.
A bond issue.
Yeah.
Where the right to sell bonds to create fixing the roads and bridges and other things. And then Obama is saying that the state should go ahead and charge to run their roads, you know, with toll. So in other words, 71 will have a toll on it, maybe, you know, if somehow Fitzgerald wins the election. We'll see at that
spot.
Can I? I want to bring some more.
Yeah, go ahead, Montana. Go ahead.
I want to bring in some more controversy since there's a mixture of black and white on the show. I believe that Sterling should not have had his team taken away from him.
I agree.
Here.
For God's sake, does anybody here have a phone in their body?
I'm sorry. I got bad news for you, man. You're not going to get this.
Oh, for God's sake. Stanley, why didn't you tell me about the show before?
I told you. They're very wise people. I told you.
With the exception of me, Montana.
Oh.
Oh,
okay, cool.
No, I told you, those people I call in, they're very intelligent, informed people. Tracy and Friends is a very informed, intelligent show.
Oh, sorry.
They're not stupid. They don't come with... She makes me think of everything. I'm sorry. I have to agree with her. Certainly, I was mad, but when she brought the fact that what she said, it was a private call, number one, I was like, would you like that to be done on you? No.
Yeah, if you really want to punish him, kick him out of the league and let him get stuck with the $700 million swamp man in Louisiana.
I'm glad you said that. I disagree. I think the statement.
I didn't hear.
Hey,
what?
Diva.
Huh?
Hey, guys. What? Diva. Diva. Is Diva there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is South Carolina. Diva, look. All right. First you're putting up shoes that you can't afford on the Facebook. Now you're talking about lacing your eyebrows?
No.
Who does that?
No.
I mean, Alabama, she put on my Facebook page how to lace your eyebrows. This is crazy.
No. I did that because when I was going through my cancer treatment, I was thankful that I didn't have to go to chemotherapy, right? And a lot of women lose all of their body hair. So I just put that up in case someone loses, a female loses their eyebrows. We don't have no eyebrows. We look crazy. So that is a good alternative to use when you lost your eyebrows due to chemotherapy. That's what I put that up.
Okay. But how much does that cost?
If anybody, it depends. I guess that lady charged $1,200. But for anybody who is one of the ones talking about, women sometimes wear a wig on their head. Well, there's a such thing called lace front wigs where it has an invisible hairline. It looks like it's just your own hair growing out of your scalp. Well, now they've come up with lace front eyebrows that look like they're yours, but they're not.
Which sounds reasonable to me if somebody's undergone chemotherapy.
Yeah. $1,200 for them is kind of deep.
Yeah, I guess.
If I had to go through chemotherapy, I'm sorry. I would look crazy with eyebrows. I would have to find some way, like, you know, calling South Carolina and begging him for his credit card. I know you won't do it for the shoes. But for the eyebrows, come on. You wouldn't let the girl be out here.
Nah, I'll get you a wax pencil.
As long as your family is very best taste, freshness, and
so everybody, all right. Stanley and I have been on programs before. Everybody started yelling at us. So, you know, okay.
What program y'all been on? Well,
easy. Mr. Talk or different shows we want.
Yeah.
Mainly different thing, different subject, but it comes to the same thing.
Yeah, mainly relationship shows, yeah.
No, they're a little bit more honest with each other and everything. Sometimes the woman-man thing does go to that point, but no, we keep it civilized. The only thing I think that we have a difference is the health issue that I always bring up. I do not accept the excuse that I hear from people keeping their health to nothing, and that I think that's going to be the biggest.
Oh, good. I can answer that.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest problem we're going to have in our generation if we don't solve it.
And I remember you.
I didn't hear you, Stanley.
The biggest issue we're going to have in the next generation is going to be obesity health issue. If we don't resolve the obesity thing, where 60 to 70% of the population is obese, brings a lot of more problem, heart attack, cancer, all those
but
things.
We will have
a huge problem this by the money we have to pay and things like that. If we do not resolve this.
Here's what I don't understand is that it seems like, because when you talk about foolishness and everything, the right wants to argue, well, then how come most poor people are fat? But then you have to look at what they're eating. They're eating a lot of unhealthy processed food. And because it's cheaper, why is it that healthy stuff is more expensive than the bad? Because if you go to McDonald's and buy a bottle of water, it's going to cost more than a large soda. If you buy a burger, it's cheaper than the salad. You see where I'm going? All the healthy stuff. You go to a Whole Foods, a organic food store, all of that stuff is more expensive than stuff you can get at your regular grocery store.
Yeah, but it goes with the demand, Diva. If more and more people are demanding good food, it would be less expensive. If more and more people are going to McDonald's and fast food more than normal food, of course the prices are going to be lower. But if more and more people were demanding to eat well and saying, we're going to start, every American starting now are not going to eat any fast food, and they're all going to eat proper food, and they're all going to cook at home, and they're going to stop eating so much meat.
But
and inform with each other, a lot of things would change with the price.
Stanley, with a poor economy, with grocery prices going up, who is really going to, it's going to come down to a choice, I got to feed my family. And
I know.
It has to last. And the only way it's going to last is if you cook an unhealthy stuff and you cook an unhealthy
Oh, good. I have somebody I can disagree with. I agree with Stanley to a degree. I disagree with you, caller, because I don't eat processed food. My only weakness is some chocolate. Never eat processed food. I've never eaten in the last 30 years a TV dinner. I cook.
Okay. Do you have children?
Huh? No.
Do you have a low-wage job?
No.
Because there lies the two differences.
Doesn't
when
matter.
When you look at, yeah, it does matter. Because when you have children and you work a low-wage job and you are paying all the bills,
right.
And at the end of the day, your wages is not enough. You barely cover your bills. You still have to feed your family. You cannot go to a Whole Foods store.
No, I don't have to go there. You don't have to go there.
Or
you just buy.
Even to go to a grocery store.
Go to the grocery store. You buy your chicken, your steak, your lamb chops, your pork chops. You cook it. You cook it in a healthful way, and you feed it to your family. You don't have to buy the crap that's in the jars, the cans, and the bottles. I've never bought bottled water. Never. But I have
water. I tell
water.
You one thing.
But
I
you know what?
Like
I get it out of the tap, and I put it in the freezer.
Look. I was raised by a generation.
Like
look, I was raised
like
by a generation
that
believed in God.
And I tell you that when I cook like that, it doesn't last a day and a half.
Then
why?
You got it. Sorry, I'm going to disagree with you because even though you don't have kids, I was raised by a family who didn't feed me processed food.
I was raised by gardeners. My grandparents are gardeners. We grew our own vegetables.
Feeling pretty good, and that's the truth. It's neither drink nor drug induced. No, I'm just doing all right. And it's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. There's some hard times in the neighborhood, but why can't every day be just this good?
Good old country.
They're doing all right. Now I look in the mirror and what do I see? A long wolf there staring back at me. Long in the tooth, but harmless as can be. Lord, I guess he's doing all right. And it's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. There's some hard times in the neighborhood, but why? Sometimes it's lonely.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's open mic today. I've got Into Knowledge. I've got a guy from Montana on with me today. Six and Jeffrey in studio. Diva and Stanley's there. I thought South Carolina was somewhere around. I think he's there somewhere. Good morning, South Carolina. How are you?
Oh, I am doing fine. Listening on iHeartRadio and heard some new voices. I don't know. This guy Montana has brought a soothing effect to Stanley.
yeah, Montana, you got to come.
Hey, he was trying to create controversy, but he just can't get it done here today.
I failed today. All right.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah. I know that you. I mean, I'm, you know, controversy is a good thing. But you're going to have to say something, like, really crazy.
Like Tracy
with.
Is saying.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know.
Say Tracy is actually absolutely saying.
Then
and
you,
that will cause controversy.
That will cause controversy.
That, yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But
like I said, Joe, they're very smart. I'm sorry. When I was thinking when the Sterling thing happened and Tracy explained it, how it was wrong for them to do what she did, I had to reverse my decision. She was right.
How about this on Sterling? Okay, because I happen to believe in private property rights. He had the right, and I think everybody has the right, if you own your property or if you're in a particular community like a co-op or a condo, to keep out the people you don't want in.
angry.
Oh, my Jesus Christ. Why can't anybody disagree with
her? Yeah. I mean, it's the sorry, man. I agree, too.
And now, listen here. Diva, now listen, Diva disagrees with you, but let me say this. I believe that a man should be able to do what he chooses. If you want to go outside naked in the middle of your yard, then pack up and go out naked as long as I don't have to see it. Now, when you go out naked, I got to see you, then there's a problem there.
Well, they got to be public decency now.
But if you want to go out, if you got a privacy fence, and you want to run around naked in your backyard, run on.
Backyard, yeah, I agree. Backyard,
front
yard,
no. Hey, Montana.
All right.
Hey, Montana.
Look, okay. I'm tired of this.
Okay, but this is an entity that is basically subjected to the whims of a private market. Because you have consumers, you have sponsors who sponsor this team who have to answer to their consumers.
Well, but they're being pressured by political correctness. I think the players did the good thing when they dumped their T-shirts, their jerseys, in the middle of the floor to let the owner know, we didn't like what you said. I think that was inappropriate.
But every company is subjected to political correctness by its consumers.
Hold on, listen, you're right, and guess what? And you have the right whether you're going to buy the product or not.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we're trying to make somebody change it based upon what we think and not based upon what he wants to do. That's the problem.
And he didn't do anything. He only said
something.
He
had a private conversation with his girlfriend. And he was trying to say he didn't want to take Instagram pictures with black guys because his boys was giving him a hard time. And it blew up in his face. But let me say this. This is now – hold on, Diva. Hold on, Diva. But now this is now spreading over to the NFL and the Washington Redskins and
there
the National Baseball League and the Indians. And they want all these other franchises to now make their owners change the names of their teams based upon political correctness because people are offended and it's a slur to them because they did it. And this is where I told you guys, and Mark Cuban had it right, it was a slippery slope.
Absolutely.
And the slope just got slick.
There you go.
But how would you like it if they had a team called?
You can call a team the end team if you want to, but guess what? I'm not going. I'm not giving you my money, and I'm not wearing your T-shirt. But if you want to call it the end team, then it'll be an end on. That's your business because it's America. In America, you have the right to do what you choose, and I have a right not to support you.
Right. Isn't it the right of the consumer to put pressure on?
No, consumers aren't putting any pressure on. It's the doggone rights groups that are putting pressure on,
okay.
And they're forcing the hand of people to act and react, and that's who should be put out of this mess.
And the most,
I don't buy jerseys. I don't go to basketball games. So if I'm upset, how I feel about it doesn't matter.
Let me ask. I have
Go ahead.
If you're dumb enough to name a team the N-word, then do it.
And I'm smart enough not to go and give you my money.
Yeah, right. I got two things to say about that. One of them is that if Sterling, supposedly, everybody knew about his particular attitude for years, right? I mean, he went to court and he publicly stated what he had stated. My thing is, if it was so bad, not because of the NBA not acting, why did the players who came out of college accept the money from a racist owner?
Money talks.
Why did
the NAACP give the man two lifetime awards, and now because it gets on national TV how he's a fool, then they pull their thing. See, that's the hypocrisy of America. And see, I'm not afraid to point out hypocrisy. See, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No,
particular opinion. Political correctness is one of the ways of creating oppression in America. If you can't say what you want to say, then the government's got you by the short hairs.
It's called fascism.
Yep.
And that's where we are. And as I said, it's spilling over into the NFL and into the National Baseball League. Mm-hmm. Bad.
All right.
It's one to have a problem with political correctness. I'm sorry. I don't want to be walking around and somebody just say, hey, you N-word. I'm sorry.
You're missing the point, Diva. David, you're missing the point.
I'm not missing the point.
She's got a point. Can I answer that?
Go ahead.
Okay. First off, here's another thing of mine. is that if somebody does go around saying the N-word or anything else which is, you know, racially explosive or even just plain insulting, I believe that if you do that without any goddamn good reason to somebody,
no,
I'm saying,
no, no, no,
oh,
no,
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, no,
can't say
no,
that.
No, 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 no,
yeah, we're on
no,
radio.
No, 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 no,
terrestrial radio.
You can't do that.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Am I going
to
be
censored
now? All right. And somebody going to take away my NBA
just say you're sorry. Just say you're sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry out there. I forgot because of the break. I realized that you have an affiliate.
No, no, no. No, 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 no.
Sorry.
I'll get in trouble.
We got priests and little old ladies and little children.
Yeah.
All right.
And listen to us. And
you're right.
They'll take us off the air and make me go home and work on a farm. And
here's what I'm saying about that. I believe that if you say that to somebody, if you insult somebody, that person that you're insulting has the right to kick your butt. And then the police should say, okay, that's what happened. No problem. But what's going to happen nowadays? It's a hate crime. Because you know if you get into a fight with somebody, something's going to come out because it's politically incorrect that they're going to add 5-10 years onto a crime that should never have been a crime to begin with.
Cool.
Yeah, here's where this group disagrees. Tracy and Jeff, I believe, are pro hate crime legislation.
No, I'm not.
I thought you were.
Not whatsoever.
Because I'm anti hate crime law. Because hate crime law is thought crime law.
Well, so, it doesn't matter if you murder somebody, you murdered them.
Right.
And
so why
how are you going to kill them harder if you know or
right.
or punish them harder for murdering somebody? It's ridiculous. And it's asinine. It's asinine thought, and it's a waste of time.
Since I'm in disagreement with you, let me answer that. Because after that first came up, I had to do my research. There was a murder in Texas where they could not prosecute or bring certain evidence into the courtroom because he was not charged with a hate crime. Without that evidence, this person would have walked. But because of that extra evidence and it was brought into the courtroom, they were able to charge him with a hate. Well, because they were able to charge this person with a hate crime, certain evidence was able to come in, and that person got what was due.
So there's a lower standard of proof for hate crime rather than regular.
Let me say it this way: when it comes to hate crimes, I am when a hate crime is something that is going to if you brutally harm me. Based upon your bigotry of me, then I think it should be a higher level because your prejudice has now crossed the line. You can be prejudiced from your side of the street all you want, but the day that you actually physically attack me and or hurt me, I should have recourse. Whether it be assault, because remember, if you look at Rodney King was convicted. The officers were convicted on a hate crime. And not on an assault crime. And there should have been recourse because you do not kick a man when he's down, even if you're arresting him.
Okay,
it is what it is.
Let me answer that. Here's where the slippery slope comes in. About 6 months ago or so, there was an incident within the Amish community where one particular sect had some kind of beef against the other sect.
Right here in
so
Ohio.
We're familiar with that.
Okay,
you don't
so
cut a man's beard.
Right, and they shaved off the beards. The FBI came in and now said this was a hate crime. Now, remember, what you're saying is that if it's racially motivated, some time should be added on because of the extra motivation. I disagree because the government is going to come in and make a mountain out of a molehill. Here's the thing. If what about now when everybody, when they get into a fight with their own ethnicity, their own race, the N-word comes out, the other racial epithets come out, or anything else come out. What is not occurring today will occur in the future. What I mean is when you say words like blah, blah, bag, or you, blah, 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 without racial epithets, that's going to be considered a hate crime in the future. So whatever happens, any fight is now going to have 5 to 10 years added on as a result of a hate crime. And don't forget, in today's marital situations, if you raise your voice, that's domestic violence.
Right.
That is true.
And here's my problem with hate.
Hold on, Diva.
Here's my problem with hate crime in general, is it's a slippery slope, because it's thought crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you've just created a legal mechanism by where they can make a law that says if my
preacher preaches the Bible about homosexuality,
right,
he's going to jail for hate crime.
That's true.
And they have done so in England and in Canada already.
Hold on. Into Knowledge, your mic is on.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. You kind of shifted gears on me from, and I guess maybe you're just segueing.
Go
from
back.
Bob Sterling.
Go back. You can go back. It's open mic. You can go back.
I just wanted to say what Montana brought up in regards to the Donald Sterling issue. I think the NBA, you know, just generally speaking, they want the guy out. This is a move by the league to get him out. They can't take the team from him because whatever rule that he broke is going to have to be decided upon by the owners themselves. The only instance where I've ever seen a major sports franchise taken from an owner is whenever they're involved in gambling. That happened to Eddie DiBartolo Jr. with the San Francisco 49ers. Now, they actually kicked him out of the league because of something that he was doing with his investments in New Orleans and those riverboat gambling things that they had down there. He was picking.
But hold on. Stop right there. But remember, when they took the team from Eddie, they only gave it to his sister.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So even as egregious as gambling is, because that's basically the death penalty in sports, is gambling. So if this is not even on that level, he's just part of an old regime. He was the last one. Like I said last week, David Stern retired. Jerry Buss died last year. Those were the three oldest guys in the whole league. They were like the godfathers. When those two were gone, it was time for him to go. They just had to wait for him to do the right thing, which he always does, and now they're able to turn it into a political and social football for everybody to throw back and forth with one another. And the whole goal is just to phase him out. Somebody will come in and buy the team. The sponsors will come back. Now they're a winning team. They're advancing in the playoffs. The price goes up every series they win. The price goes up. And they're going to be bought. They've already given us a list of all of these people who want the team.
Well, let me say something. If he sells it now, which I don't think he intends to do, he's going to get hit with a huge capital gains evaluation and have to pay something like $300-400 million in taxes.
But let me say this, Jack.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But let me say, even if they make him pay and he gets hit with a capital gains tax, if it's $400 million, $13 million minus $300 million is still a significant profit for a billionaire.
He built that thing up to where it's at. He does not deserve that.
It's not about what he deserves. What I'm saying is, the profit margin.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hurt a man, you don't give him a profit. And the problem is, instead of them actually expelling the Clippers from the organization, they chose to expel him. And I believe, and if I'm not mistaken, is it true? Because I don't know the difference, because everything on the internet's not true. Is it true his son got killed over the last weekend?
No, that was a year ago.
Listen, hold on. Does he have any children?
Other than that one son, I don't know.
Listen, it does. You know,
because he has a daughter. Remember, the daughter was his daughter was hanging out with the kid.
Yeah, he
got
it.
So you can.
Right.
No. She might be. She's never too young.
I hear you.
She's never too young to take over ownership. You could actually transfer ownership to your cat if you choose to.
True that.
So the question is, he can transfer ownership. See, they didn't do, they didn't expel, but they should have expelled the team, and let the team go as a loss. And the reason why they didn't do that is because they wanted to keep the team intact.
Why
and the marketing and the branding of the team.
Why would he expel the team?
Because there was a contract within the NBA about anything that if you do anything that affects our bottom line, then we will be able to dismiss you. Remember, the owners get to vote about expelling Sterling from being a part of the NBA franchise.
Oh, okay.
So a part of the contract that he signed. Pardon me?
Oh, okay. There's a contract that they signed up. That's part of the other terms. Okay.
Right.
Yes, he signed
Hold on, Diva. There are terms within the NBA contract that he signed that can remove him from ownership. Hold on. So the removal of ownership from Donald Sterling is one thing. But the problem is it's on a private conversation, which adds in another element, because if I have a conversation with Jeff and Sticks in studio and somebody comes in and records it and then broadcasts it, it was a private conversation. It was not a public conversation, and it had nothing to do with the NBA. And that is where the slippery slope comes in even further.
Once again, right. I wanted to add something. Mm-hmm. Let me add something here. It's not, you don't hurt a man by what you. What did you just say? You hurt a man. You
take his toys.
You take his toys. No, you hurt a man by discounting his work and denigrating his work. He built that up to where it was, and that will destroy a person when you have done what you did, and then somebody just comes in and totally just destroys it.
I disagree, Jeff. He was the owner who was milking that whole system.
Right. It doesn't matter what he was milking.
He didn't build the team.
He did build the team.
No, he didn't build the team.
If this fired that $13 million trade,
he didn't build the
and
team.
And he runs $777 million today.
Listen,
who built the freaking team?
The NBA built the team.
He actually, because even if you look at his players,
it's not like he invested money into the team.
He did the Cleveland Browns. He would get cheap players, except for one quarterback. They paid him like $1 billion, but he'd get cheap players, and then when they got good enough to command money, he let them go.
That's not what you have to understand. You have to go back and look at the years of the franchise. There is a reason why he is the worst owner in the NBA.
There's a reason why the NBA wants him out.
And I don't care about that either.
I know you don't care.
I like to
it's
peel
not,
back another layer of the onion.
He's floating in on the asset of the NBA, not building the team.
I disagree with you.
He made the decisions.
He made the decision where it got today.
Then who made it for him? The NBA.
Well, listen, you can tell him what to do with his team.
Listen, you can come here every day. You never say a word.
Right.
And you can still make a dividend and not be an input to it. And what it is he's running the heir of the NBA. He's not doing anything better to make the team better or the NBA franchise better.
Well, how about
it
this?
Hold on, guys.
Into knowledge, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's why you have presidents, that's why you have GMs, that's why you have a good scouting department. It's not the owner. The owner just put the money out there. That team was built for him. The L.A. Clippers was a wasteland in the NBA. That's where players went to die for
Absolutely.
Over 25
what?
Years.
This is ridiculous. Who paid the freaking GM? Who paid the freaking coach? Who paid the people? Who hired them? Did the Dalmau League hire those people?
Can we state is a symbiotic relationship between the owner of a team, the commissioner, and the NBA and the players? They all contribute to the making and breaking of the team.
But if you look at how the franchise works and how this team works, he benefits. The reason why they want him out is because he has not been an asset over the years with the Clippers.
Okay.
He does not invest in the property.
Right. And because he does not invest in the property,
he is part of the problem, which makes the franchise even grow. That's why it's universal that everybody wants him out.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Montana.
Here's a part of the peeling back of the layer that I want to get to. It was a slippery slope again. As one of the other callers had talked about, it can now be transferred over to the NFL and baseball. Also, don't forget, what happens to one happens to another. Magic Johnson might buy the team. Elgin Baylor might become a part owner of the team. There will be, at one time in the future, black owners. What if they say something against Jews?
They're going
to
get hit.
There you go. People should realize what happens to one happens to another. This is all about control.
Okay.
This is not about moral indignation. This is not about right versus wrong.
Yeah, but
I would have to say, find myself,
Hold on, Diva. I've got to find my noise. Diva, hold on. I've got to find my noise. There. Go ahead, Diva.
I find myself agreeing with Jess because regardless of what perspective you're looking at it from, you have to look at it from Donald Sterling's perspective. He feels he built that team. He feels he took it from nothing to something. They are playoff contenders now. So
he feels he owns
that
team.
Away from him, to strip him from completely alienating him from the team, him still collecting a check means nothing because he's a billionaire. But to separate him from his prized possession, it's hurting him.
Listen,
I would have to agree with
his whole thing is he owns it. He owns it. He doesn't care. It's his prized possession because he owns it. It's a piece of his property. And he has control over his property. And when you tell me that I'm going to lose control over my property, I have a problem. But
and
at 84
what
with
cancer.
But what I'm saying, but at 84 with cancer, his ego is not really shot. His ego is not really shot behind this. That's why he's going to fight this. He's going to fight this because he's a fighter.
I totally disagree. He was hurt when the girl was saying things.
Not to mention that the girlfriend, she's defending him now.
She's defending him how? I haven't heard from her.
He's not a racist.
What'd she say?
She's going to be on
Bubba Walters.
She went on Bubba Walters and defended him.
Yeah.
Hey, Tracy.
Hold on, Bianchi. He said what?
Eagle was shot from just the pictures of on Instagram, his friends calling him about that. His ego could have hit this. You don't think this is a bigger thing for his
no.
ego?
No.
And if I'm worried about my ego in my 80s, I'm in trouble.
No. No. If you want to hurt a man, you take his toys. And you take his toys by you taking his money.
If you get toys anytime, you take his work and you denigrate it.
But and again, you didn't denigrate it if I make a profit on it.
No, you yes you do because you are discounting me. You have rejected me.
But that means you had to put something into it. Remember, he has not put anything into it.
That's ridiculous.
All right, Jeff. I'm not going to fight with you on it.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
He didn't put anything into it.
Okay, then what the hell? He doesn't own the team.
No, Jeff.
There's
a lot of times you. There's a lot of things
into that team.
No, he didn't.
He put whatever's in it in it.
He didn't. That's right. He doesn't put anything in it.
By action or inaction, Tracy.
At the same time, because Diva, I cannot hear, and if I can't hear, neither can anyone else.
I can't hear neither.
By action or inaction, Mr. Sterling did whatever happened to that team to make it be worth $777 million from 13 frickin' million that he bought it for.
Listen, Jeff. You can buy a piece of land and let it sit.
Okay.
And never touch it.
Doesn't matter.
And it will appreciate.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm not going to fight with you over what...
There's no fight.
What I'm saying is I'm not going to argue the issue of it. What I'm saying is his prize is in the ownership of it as well, but it's not because he did anything to it. What I'm saying is when you take it down to nothing and then make him have to give it away, see, the issue is you're going to say I'm going to chastise you, and I'm going to punish you, but I'm going to reward you by giving you money to make it something. That doesn't really hurt him to the point where it's you take something, even if you did not put anything into it, or even if you did, and you take it from something to nothing. Because if that's his prized possession, and or if that is something that he owns, and you take it from $700 million to $200 million, or take it down to zero, then you've done something. But then to take it to $700 million, give you $1 billion for it, and say, well, you know what, that's a good punishment.
He's going to have to pay $400 million of that away.
Doesn't matter.
It matters.
It doesn't matter.
If he bequeaths it, he gets all of his money.
He's going to bequeath it anyhow to someone else.
No. You can't bequeath to someone else.
They did it to Eddie. No, Jeff, they did it to Eddie. Okay,
to family. It has to be family. You can only bequeath the family.
Remember, he's got daughter. He's got wife. He's got family. And
once again,
he can walk away from his team.
Once again. His work will not be denigrated if he bequeaths it. The government will rape him if he sells it.
It will not. That will not hurt him.
Can I make a little bit of an interjection here?
Sure.
I was on mute for a while. I was waiting for that because you always get muted. So thank you, Tracy, for letting me feel that I'm welcome.
You were making noise.
I know. It's my phone. I'm sorry. It's,
hello,
you can't
Jill.
Make noise.
Yeah. Here's the thing is that we're talking about, we're making assumptions about how he feels about getting it taken away from him. The fact is the government swooped in and took something away from somebody. They shouldn't have done it, point blank, period.
What? The government?
The government
the
didn't
government.
Do it. The NBA did it.
The NBA did it, but the NBA has to conform to, I'm sure, certain rules and regulations imposed
nope.
by the antitrust. Can,
nope. This is,
that
nope.
had to deal with that contract.
This is all political pressure.
Well, that's
all
true.
Franchise contracts.
Yeah. So the NBA, the NFL, the LNB, if they're not in one way or another beholden to government, why does government have congressional investigations such as when, I forget the pitcher's name.
The NBA, because the National Baseball League is the only league that is actually under the trust of
antitrust.
It's antitrust. They're under a certain organization. I'm
but the NBA, the NBA is not, and neither is the NFL. Only the, only the baseball
only,
league.
The, only the American basketball? Oh, okay.
That's
gotcha.
Correct.
Okay.
Only the baseball league. And that was done so that African Americans could not start up another Negro League and compete against the National Baseball League.
So
that was,
okay.
That was to dismantle the National the Negro League of baseball.
So government really has nothing or a minimal effect on this particular situation?
Not from a legal standpoint.
Okay.
NBA
right.
players' unions are being investigated by U.S. government. Investigating the business practice of the NBA Players Association. So I don't know what you're talking about. I understand that they're not under direct supervision,
but
they are under.
They can be. Everybody can be investigated, just like Microsoft, but not the way that the baseball league can, because that's the only thing that's been.
I understand.
Okay,
that's
been.
As I said, it's not direct,
monopoly.
Not direct, but indirectly. You have
hey, Tracy.
Contracts are
yeah,
not
Bianchi.
Regulated the federal through the government.
No. Go ahead, Bianchi.
You know, the thing that mystifies me, yeah, people are very happy to see that Sterling is being banned for life from the NBA. Then why do they have so much disapproval when felons are banned from voting for life after they commit a crime in a state? I think they should be banned, too.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh,
you
no.
paid your debt to society. You should
oh,
be
no. you
reinstituted
to
back in it. And you should be able to become
no,
a barber,
No, that's up to
too.
The state.
Oh,
that's up to the states, right?
State or not.
You paid your debt. You went to prison. That's called paying your debt to society. It should be over. You should be given a clean slate and allowed to start again. If you mess up again, then let the full strength of the law come back with the old law as well and put your butt away if you're stupid enough to do that. But the thing is,
well, like
this
people
is not
disagree
fair.
On Sterling, I disagree with that. I think it's up to the states if the states want to ban you, which some do, by the way. Then that's up
Florida.
To them, right?
Florida does. There are many states that ban you, but I still don't think it's right.
Are you talking about banning felons or banning owners?
Banning felons
banning
from voting.
Felons
from
oh, voting. Banning felons, okay.
Yeah, we have, people are happy to see Sterling lose his privileges for life. Then why do the same people sometimes have the same disagreement about felons being banned from voting
again,
in some states for life?
Again, how do you ban me from watching my own team? That's why you take the whole Clippers and you take the whole franchise out of the NBA, not just the man.
How do you ban me from being able to buy a ticket and go into the arena? That is going to court, and they're going to lose.
What I'm
yeah,
saying,
I don't get that part either.
Because
it's a private entity.
And because they banned Pete Rose. Pete Rose was banned from baseball.
That's for gambling.
So they already have they already have precedents for banning people.
But I can ban you from coming into my organization, saying you're not allowed to come here anymore. Bottom line, I have the right of refusal.
You can't stop anybody from going to a public.
I
want to
ask.
Yes, I can.
No, you cannot.
Yes, I can.
A public arena
Absolutely.
Is a public arena.
No, it's not.
Crazy.
It's a public arena
oh,
that's owned by a private person.
That's going
Wait
to
a minute.
I
like
and
to ask
I can
you.
Actually say I do not want Jeff coming here because I can actually tell you not to come into my restaurant.
That's going to court.
I think we all know that's not applicable.
So he can't buy
you can't have private property.
Game?
And have that kind of discrimination. So that's
what
my
just
question.
Happened in Arizona.
No. There's a difference. There's a difference.
Nah.
Mm-hmm.
If I own a restaurant,
I cannot discriminate. But if you come into my restaurant and I ban you for purpose, I can ban you for purpose.
If I have a restaurant, I don't want black people in my restaurant.
He didn't say black people. I have banned one person.
Yes, there's a sign at Bristol Motor Speedway that says if you're caught throwing anything onto the track, you will be banned for life.
That's a good reason for that.
And he actually was banned by the ownership, by the NBA.
He did not cause harm or even consideration of harm.
They banned him.
They will lose this case.
They cannot ban him from his team.
They will lose this.
That's where I'm going with this. Hold on, Diva.
That's unconstitutional.
Listen what I'm saying. You cannot ban me from my team, but you can ban me from coming into the Staples Center.
Unconstitutional.
Well, what was the Tracy? What was the case?
You're discriminating against me.
I'm not discriminating against you. If I cause
Tracy.
A fight, if I do, if I
cause a fight,
no, Jeff, you can ban me from actually coming into this place here.
Not from your views, I can't.
Who is that?
Hey, Tracy.
Somebody got us on hold.
Whoa.
That sounds like everything.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes?
Hey, Tracy.
Yes?
What about the cases where when people get on the airplane that makes the rest of the passengers uncomfortable, they can be put off? I've seen a case in a restaurant where one white lady felt uncomfortable when a family of blacks came in and the owner put the blacks out.
He got sued and lost, did he not?
But again, you can't classify it by person.
If they didn't sue them, they were fools.
But listen, Jeff, I cannot classify. I can't say all black people can't come in a public place.
Exactly.
But I can say Jeff Green is not allowed to be in this place, and they can hold you and say you can't come in.
Why?
Because of whatever reason
you choose.
No, you cannot do
yes,
me.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you
Tracy.
Can.
You cannot ban me unless there is a problem.
There was. The NBA voted that you are not. You are banned by the commissioner of
crime. Constitutional, they will lose.
They will not lose.
The Constitution has nothing to do with his contract. He has a contract with the NBA that says that he will abide by certain rules and regulations. He broke that contract when that conversation came forward. Knowing what that conversation comes
from. Well, the contract.
The problem is
contract is going to have jurisdiction on him.
The contract can't be scrutinized in court.
He cannot go into the arena because I can ban you from the arena, but I cannot ban you from your own property. But we'll be right back.
The contract can be scrutinized because if you're not of age, you can't sign a contract. You can't enter into a contract depending on state law.
Well, we know he was of age when he signed that contract when he bought that team back in the 1980s. So that's moot.
The law says that in order to engage in a contract, you have to be a certain age. So to say that the law cannot apply to his contract is mute. It's not true. It can apply. And I'm not talking to you anyway.
I don't care, because you always bring up these stupid asinine points that makes no sense.
Well, how many contracts have you ever entered into? How many contracts have you entered into?
I don't understand how Jeff can say that this is unconstitutional when the only thing that protects you, the only thing that protects you from discrimination is your race, religion, creed, sexual preference, and gender. Those are the only five classes that are protected under the law. That's not true.
Civil rights, period. A United States citizen is protected from discrimination.
No, they're not. They are not.
Anyway, let's take... I think everybody...
Joe, how you doing?
Hey, Bianchi, what's up? I think everybody agrees that if you have a contract, you should abide to the terms of the contract and shouldn't have anybody interfere with it. However, if somebody within a contract doesn't like the terms, as has already been seen by the Donald Trump prenup agreement being broken by his ex-wife years and years ago, you can also bring the party into court, which means the state now has jurisdiction over a private arrangement.
Absolutely. I've taken contracts to court myself against contractors, and the wording in the contract was null and void. So the courts can go into contracts and disassemble them if they want to.
Yep.
That's a civil matter. Jeff is talking about it being unconstitutional. I don't understand how banning him, He is not protected under the First Amendment right. He is not protected
Joe, is not the Constitution supposed to protect the citizens of the United States? If you have a constitutional, if you had a contractual agreement that you have a dispute in, first, it's taken to the court in which the contract was written in. That's a civil matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, theoretically, yes, but here's the reality. As I brought up on, and Pianki, and to, and Stan, you've known me from bringing this up on the shows that we frequented before. And this goes to relationships, which will now dovetail into this particular topic. If a man and a woman gets into an agreement where she, if she becomes pregnant, and she agrees with the man that if she becomes pregnant, she will abort the baby, or if she aborts the baby, or she doesn't abort the baby, she will then disavow his responsibility, and he agrees to this. That is something that's a contract, that's an agreement, that's a mutual consent type of situation. However, the states will not allow it.
They won't allow it because they're there to defend the innocence of the child.
Right, they use that as a pretense. Pretense. That's not reality. That's a pretense. Because they're using that also for CPS to come in and take your kids away, too.
Well, here's the thing, guys. I mean, you're talking about a very, very complex, complicated, and nerve-wracking system when you start talking about contract law. You know, I mean, there are folks that would rather go into anything but contract law. It's crazy. You know, to sit there and figure out has a contract been enforced, or is a contract in place, whether it is written or verbal. You know, is it there?
If Donald Sterling has a moral clause in his contract, I find it hard to believe that a court will come in and reverse the decision of the NBA. Because his statements, whether you agree his statements were harmful or not, when the sponsors started pulling out, the NBA viewed that as harmful to the organization. And I can't find any high-power entity or corporation that does not have a moral clause in their contract.
Here's the thing, Diva. Here's the problem you run into. If you do not define what morals are, that contract can be made null and void.
Your agreement has to be pre-qualified. Then the pre-qualifications that you use in order to get to the point where you sit down at the table has to be included in the contractual wording before you sign.
A court's going to look at it like Donald Sterling as a billionaire with powerful attorneys to assist him with his contract agreement. He is not some little small Joe that got some little rinky-dink and got railroaded by a big corporation. He knew what he was getting into when he signed it. I find it hard to believe that a court would agree with him. I mean, whether you agree or not, his words are on tape, and they are harmful. They are very damaging. If you look at it from a court standpoint, and the NBA views that as harmful. I remember maybe 20, 15 years ago, a local reporter in Youngstown was on vacation with her husband. She entered into a wet T-shirt contest. Now, somehow these pictures got out. According to her moral clause, they fired her. She tried to go against them in court. Court upheld the decision. Why? Because you agreed to hold yourself to a moral standard according to your contract, according to what they declared morality to be. So they figured that was immoral, and it was damaging to the look of their organization, their entity. And she was fired. And she was let go, and that was the end of it. I find it hard to believe that a court is going to side with Donald Trump.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
I bet you a dime to the donut that the NBA has nothing within their contract based on what the Honorable Mr. Sterling said. What he said did not harm nobody. If it was, then where's all the people that he harmed is coming for to file a grievance against him?
Here's the thing. What's going to happen is, you know, they're going to have to sit down and really think about this because this sets the precedent. What Mark Cuban said is really going to play a factor in this. You know,
now, what I hope to see, I hope a black owner gets the team itself, really. Because you need to have more blacks. You need to have more African-Americans on in NBA teams and also other teams in major league sports.
All this will do is allow for the owners to look towards revamping their contracts to make sure that if they say something, you know, that is private, that they are not going to face this situation.
And
now,
I'll bet.
This just gives them the power to maybe renegotiate their contracts if
brand
their contracts
new after the professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pick-up and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Hey, Stacy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's called Green Grass and High Tide Sticks. You like that?
Yeah, it's Allman Brothers, right?
Yeah, Allman Brothers.
The Outlaw.
I'm going to need for Sticks to stop picking the music selection.
What did you say, Diva?
Hey, Diva, that music's good. That's not like that. That's all right.
Hey, country music is good, huh? All right, or anything that sounds similar to it? Could be, if it's good.
I'd rather listen to Happy All Day Every Day than to listen to that. I'm sorry.
Hey, there's only two kind of music.
See, Diva, you're my kind of girl. See,
that's country and western. That's what Six told me.
That's right.
So Diva, you're trying to tell me that I messed up today, right?
Yes. We're going to ban Six from picking the music selection. Six,
I only picked
superhero,
one song today.
Ban for life.
Yeah.
I got at least three country songs. There we go.
I mean, it just does it. You guys keep on messing with me, but I can't help it. Pharrell Williams just does it. He just does what is necessary. And when you find something that works,
don't
you continue
worry,
to
I
use
come
it.
Home, when I come home, when I come back, we get all straightened out.
Okay, you help me out.
Yes.
Okay, me and Jeff are fighting during the break, but I'm telling y'all the franchise, the NBA. If you guys, people say, well, they're loose. All these people lose their jobs. There are not that many people that work for the franchise. You've got the players, you've got the trainers, you got the administrative team, and you've got your marketing department, and usually that's outsourced. And you've got that's about it because everything else is controlled by the entity.
Yeah,
the
and
floors,
most of
everything
people
is
got
done.
Contract.
That, yeah, everything is outsourced. I mean, there are not a whole lot of people going to lose their jobs. I bet he's got less than 50 people on the payroll. If he has 50, you got a general manager, you got your trainers, you got your doctors, you've got your marketing people, and you've got your players, and you got your administrative offices. You don't own nothing else. Not when it comes to the franchise. That's why it's a money making entity. It's low overhead and high yield. It works for me. How In the Knowledge gonna have music like that in his own?
I like that In the Knowledge. I gotta learn what that cut is because I want to do that.
I mean, he's Skyping in. Hey, we've had a good day today. Hey, Montana, you've got to come back again.
Yeah, no problem about that.
So how
does
everybody
back.
Knows you and I don't know who you are? I don't understand.
Well, you got to pick up the phone every once in a while, Tracy. You're right.
Oh, okay.
I could swear I've heard your voice before. Have you called into this program before?
No.
Uh-uh. See, told you. I know my voices.
I know I never heard his voice before.
I know my voices. I didn't know Montana. He got cows.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should have heard me on other shows. For the half hour that I'm on a show before they ban me or expel me or.
Why do they ban? Wait a minute. Why do they ban you from other shows? What do you do?
Oh, I just asked
because he tells the truth, and a lot of people can't take the truth that he said.
Because he tells the truth, and whites don't like—I mean, blacks don't like whites that tell the truth on them shows.
You know,
what are you trying to say about my show?
I don't do it in an obnoxious way. Most of the time, I just ask a question, and I usually get, "Oh, you can't do that."
That's probably true.
Tracy, as long as you, South Carolina.
Go into the Block Talk universe and just go on some of the shows. And I mean, it's they talk about, you know, inclusion and diversity, but if you come there with a wrong opinion, an opinion they don't like, they will ban you, bud. I mean, I've been banned off 4 or 5 of them myself.
There you go.
So am
and
I
it
the
doesn't
only
matter.
Let people have their own opinion?
No, you
Frankie,
can't have
they're cheating on you.
You can't have a different opinion. If you go on a liberal show, and I see, this is something that I always do. I always try to challenge people regarding their opinions. Where do you get your opinions from? Regardless of whether you're a liberal or a conservative. And I'm a libertarian, and I go on libertarian shows, I do the same thing. A lot of people glom onto information, which that's not me. I don't know where that's coming from, but that's not me. That's somebody making
okay.
a sandwich. But the thing is, people usually glom on to a particular source of information because it feels good to them, but they don't have evidence to back it up. Most liberals do not, if you really question them, do not understand what it is they're talking about. Same thing with conservatives and even with libertarians. Because if you question them long enough, and it doesn't take that long, but if you get a little bit deeper than just the surface, what happens is most people, they just don't know why they believe what they believe.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I found out? People watch CNN and MSNBC and CBS News and ABC News. No, let me say this. Because people that usually watch Fox dig deeper. They read the books. I mean, people that really are Fox watchers, they're a little bit crazy. They dig deeper.
Glenn Beck listeners.
Yeah, they but people
no,
that listen
yeah,
to the other.
I was going to say, Glenn Beck listeners, the general Fox News watchers, no.
Yeah? 816, your mic is on.
This is Renee. I was just calling and listening, but was the guy just talking about that he called black shows and they didn't want the truth?
Yeah.
Bianchi.
Well, my response to that is I understand, you know, where he's coming from, and I am one of those truth tellers, but I'm a black person. But, I mean, we deal with white truth every day of our lives. So it's not so much that black people probably don't agree with the truth that you're telling, but when you're saying it, it's coming from a place of someone who does not know the inside. Someone
let me ask
who
you this.
Has not experienced.
Let me say this. We as black people, and I only got about a minute to say this, and then I've got to go off the air, and I may pick up on the phone. But we need to realize that black truth about white people is just as assuming as white truth about black people. Because what's happening is we assume we know what they think, and we won't hear what they actually believe. And then we won't have a conversation to get to the actual truth of the matter. Because I learned some things on my show that is really, really telling that I didn't realize
white
people think about black people.
Well, I hear you, and I see where you're coming from.
Because we assume black folks know. I mean, they don't understand
that.
They don't understand us, and we don't understand them, but we think that we
right.
do, and we wonder why we don't get along, but we don't really sit down and listen to one another and find out what's really going on with each other. Listen, you guys can stay on there. I'll open up the mics. Everybody else is going to – you guys can talk. And if you want to call in, the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to finish this conversation, you can actually call in right now. You've got about a minute to do that, and I'll pull you up, and you can actually join the conversation, or you can just listen in. But I've got to go off the radio. And I've got to go get some work done in 60 seconds. Again, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM.
Anybody
Hello?
There?
Yeah,
Jill.
You're back.
Okay, to answer Renee's question, if you've been on shows where I've been on shows, I think you will notice that when I come on and ask a question, I don't do it obnoxiously, and I try to get down to the nitty-gritty. And then if you've been on these particular shows, two or three of them, there have been times where a person will just say, you don't know, and bye.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the black show. Now, the white shows do the same thing. Nobody likes to have a difference of opinion showing up on their doorstep.
Right, and I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Absolutely.
You know, and I've been banned, you know, like the other caller said. I've been, not banned, but I've been expelled from many a show.
Well, you're on Tracy and Friends. You might not be kicked off, but you will be muted.
Mm-hmm. Well, been, you will yeah, be I've been muted before, too.
But, you know, I mean, that's the thing, though, is, yes, people don't want to ever really hear a difference in opinion, especially if you think this.
Aw, come on.
Especially if you make any sense.
Hello, can I speak? I mean, Tracy, y'all, let me, I mean, can I speak a minute, Diva? And Joe.
Yeah.
Now, you go on more polite shows than anybody's show, and they let you have a conversation. And you, because people don't agree with what you have to say, what PR can say, you say stuff that people don't like. No, some of the stuff that you say to us, we don't agree with it. But you're the only one
that's
that don't
right.
get muted. You
that's
got every
right.
show, and you got a whole lot of shows that you come on and talk.
And when you know why?
Y'all show? No. When we go to the show,
oh,
when we
Maze,
go to the show,
Maze,
that you
just
come
interrupted
on,
us.
We can't even speak.
Maze.
I'm not interrupting you.
Maze.
I never had no problem speaking on all white shows.
I'm confused. How all y'all know each other from Montana, Stanley in New York, and then Maze in Dayton? How y'all know each other and know all about all these shows? I don't know.
Blog Talk Radio, Diva.
Some of the people I've been calling to Mr. Talk Show.
Yeah, oh, Mr. Talk. I'm the one.
Where is Eric at?
I don't know. I was Eric's first major repeat guest. And then people like Maze would come along. And then what would happen, Maze? Maze, you still there? Maze, you can't be muted now because I'm having fun.
I think
they're
muted. I think
no. Maze
is putting on her
I want to have fun with
her.
All right, I'll wait
on her cinnamon stockings.
All right. I'll wait
till
she's... All right, I'll wait till she's unmuted. The thing is that 90% of the shows on Block Talk Radio now are black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
well,
I mean,
not really now,
yes,
Joe.
Yes, they are. Well,
not
a lot enough. Of them are.
At least at one time, when I counted them, there were 10. Before they went over into the so-called improvement phase, you could see 15 shows on a page at a time. 10 out of 15 were black at that time. But they made the transition about a year or 2 years ago, and you'll notice a lot of shows got off the air. The white shows are freaking intuitive shows, or they're health shows. They're not relationship shows. Some of them are political shows. But 90% of the shows regarding relationships and politics are black. So
okay.
Well, most of them regard, let's put it like this, majority of them are religion. The white shows have an array of business, health, improvement of your finances, life, health, so on and so on. But the majority of your black shows is about religion, and then you get into some other areas.
Yeah, I don't go on the religious shows. Very few.
I was going to say, well, then, what are your religious views then if you're getting kicked off?
Oh, no, I don't go on them because I'm an agnostic, and forget about that.
Okay, don't mention that
agnostic?
On this show because that will get you into a argument. That will.
Well,
you brought that up. If you wanted to cause dissent, you should have said you was an agnostic and went from there. You would have had, yes. You'd have had
them
all over.
Oh, you mean on this show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No,
not really,
Diva.
Nobody would have said
that.
Oh, crap. Talk about religion.
But during the time of the Iraqi war and Operation Desert Storm, and that Joe and I was on some of the shows where you had some of the best analysis of exactly what was going on. And
I remember
you know,
the shows.
Yeah, you remember those shows, even with Perry Steele's show.
Perry was the most interesting person on Block Talk Radio. He was very.
Hey, Joe, have you ever been on? Ever been on Blacksphere?
If they don't pick up, I've tried a lot of shows. A lot of shows just don't pick up 111 numbers. They feel you're a crazy, so they just don't pick you up.
Oh, okay.
But Perry was very...
No, I have a question for you.
Huh?
So what is it that you like about black shows? Because...
No, it's not that I like black shows. I'm not a humanitarian. I'm not for black people. I said 90% of the shows are black.
You said you're not for black people?
I'm not for black people.
No.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I don't give a rat's patootie if it's a black show. I'm not discriminating between it's a black show or a white show. I'm going on because I have a preference for black people. 90% of the shows are black. A huge percentage of the shows on Block Talk Radio don't pick up 111. And those that do, a lot of them, or most of them, are black shows. So if they allow me in and I can stay in without being muted, then I give my point of view.
So you just go on the show for the conversation. It doesn't matter the skin color.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it was 90% white shows, I'd be the same way on the white shows. They still
need one of my best white shows is White Alliance.
I don't discriminate. I just like this conversation. So.
Well, yeah, is White Alliance?
Well, Diva, here's the thing. You know, why don't you go ahead and start you a show, Diva?
Y'all gonna quit saying that? Why do I need to start a show?
Why not? I listen for what? 3 years, which I'm pretty sure you never came on my show. It started at 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, this Tea Party Radio.
Yeah, you know I would never listen to your show. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just Monday to my name alone.
You know what? You know what, Dave? I was really thinking hard about sending that credit card. Now I ain't sending you nothing.
Okay, I love the Tea Party. I love the Tea Party. That piece is like bread.
But you can ask Stanley or Pianki.
You know, we liberals walk in lockstep to get the freebies we want. You know that, right?
Oh,
so
I know you're joking
now. I'm a card-carrying Tea Party supporter.
Well, they're not liberal.
Whoa.
Are you?
No, she's not.
Trust me. Okay. I'm like, really?
I like the Tea Party.
On the other hand,
I love
you,
South Carolina.
I am.
But I discriminate on your show. The name alone, I would just bypass it. Okay.
What's your show, the Black
Tea Party? Tea Party has a lot of good points.
It was Tea Party Radio.
Oh.
Tea Party has
a
lot of points.
I have an organization. Yeah, I have an organization called Tea Party Vets.
Oh, all right.
What points does the Tea Party have?
Tea Party has a lot of good points in their 12 points agenda. For instance, like no legislation shall contain no unrelated attachments.
Yep. Free enterprise.
That's so
free
broad.
Market. You want a totally free market.
Well, that's a...
But most of the shows are...
I mean... So you
most
don't
of the shows
want
I got kicked off of...
None whatsoever.
Most of the shows I've gotten kicked off of have been progressive shows.
Oh. Well, I've been kicked off both, so I got you.
Well, I can understand South Carolina being kicked off progressive shows. But South Carolina, so you guys want absolutely no regulation. You really think
that's
be able to regulate itself?
I think the market will
regulate.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Joe.
I think the market will regulate a hell of a lot more efficiently. Oh, we're off the air. Okay. More efficiently than rules and regulations. Here's why. Because the consumer, when the consumer gets screwed, he can sue the corporation. Now, if you have a climate in which you're not going to have an oppressive government with rules, taxes, regulations preventing that, then the consumer, because of the consumer's union, they'll have other watchdogs springing up. They will let you know if this corporation isn't doing what the consumer wants. The consumer knows about it, stops buying the product. The company says, uh-oh, we're losing money. Now, if the company is that stupid where, let's say, they're polluting the environment, you can sue them. And assuming, and this is a big assumption, that you have a judicial system which isn't corrupt, then you can get something done without rules and regulations. The more power
see, that's
you get.
The problem. It is the government establishing regulation that allows for the consumer to sue in that case. If there are no rules and regulations, then who's to say what the company is doing is wrong?
Because the watchdog groups will tell you, just like there's Consumers Union, which tells you about certain products. If you read the newspaper, if you read the magazine, they have a good reputation for providing facts. You take a look at it. You take a look at the products that they're illustrating in that particular issue. You don't like it. You don't go back. You don't buy. Or you can have pickets, boycotts, and other consumer remedies. But if you have rules and regulations.
I understand overregulation. I understand with the government overregulating, but to have absolutely zero rules and regulations, sorry, I don't have that much trust in
that
to happen.
What you've got is a situation where regulations are effectively have basically killed the market. Yeah, like give you an example. Okay, everybody, it's a common knowledge known that you use less electricity in the wintertime than you do in the summertime, because in the summertime people have their air conditioners on and so on and so forth. There was a point in time over the winter that there was a crisis situation in the Northeast. There was so much electricity being used that they had every generator, every power plant working online. And there were one power plant from going on blackout. Now what's going to happen this summer with all the coal-fired plants closing down?
You had rules and regulations. You still had Enron. You
need to do away with the Department of Education, too.
And everything. Look, everybody knows that the government is corrupt. If the government is corrupt, it can be bought by big corporations. And why do we want to go to the government for rules and regulations?
So I have a question for you, Montana.
Mm-hmm.
If the government is corrupt, what does that say about us as people who elect these corrupt officials?
What have I said when I first got on here?
You know,
people are stupid.
The people are dumb.
Yeah, stupid.
Not only that, but we don't really elect anyone.
Well, you're talking about now the selection problem. Yeah, we elect
right.
what they select, but we can still go beyond that. My simple solution was everybody can just go to the polls and bypass the Democrats and Republicans and just pick an independent. Because an independent, you don't have to know who they are. That independent is not a career politician, at least not yet. That particular person does not want to screw you. That particular person could be a dog catcher. He could have an IQ of 108. He's still better than having career-minded politicians, 435 of them, in Congress. I'd rather have 435 dummies trying to fumble their way around to try to uphold the Constitution, which I'm not particularly for. I'm not for
the Constitution. This is why you have to watch. This is why you have to watch out for cards. Because, like you said, that independent candidate
mm-hmm.
is not initially trying to screw you. But because of the culture and nature of Washington, they're going to get in there, and they're going to end up just like all the others. I don't believe that our politicians get in the system to screw us. I believe every one of them, most of them, a good majority of them, have a heart for the people, and they want to change. But then when you get into that system,
I don't know about that.
It's like a vampire. It's like a leech. And it pulls you in. You think you're doing one favor for somebody. You think somebody's doing a favor for
you.
And it's a good faith. And then you owe them. And so
that's
now you
right.
have to go against everything you stood for and believe to pay off that to pay back that favor. And then that's how the wheel.
You got to scratch back. Plus, when you're walking down the corridors of power, and all of a sudden you came from a little backwoods little county, and now you're a senator, and people are going, "Yes, sir. Oh, God, your breath smells great, even though your body stinks. You just smell great, and you are great." Everybody's going to think that they're great. Do you believe that anybody who's reached the throne of power is going to give it up willingly?
See, Joe, that's why folks need to go into the military so they can learn the ins and outs of being tactful and all that.
I know some weaklings who are in the military, so I'm sorry. There are some who are meant for the military and built for it. There are some. Not everybody is meant for the military.
As a training factor for politics, either. You can learn a lot about politics in the military.
I can still see people that I know who entered into the military who I think should never have been there in politics and still be weak and still cave.
Oh, yeah, you do change. I mean, you go in there. Let's say you're a person who really has good moral foundations. You go there. And then you got to scratch back. Look, Ron Paul was in the government for 20 years. He tried to get, I think it was 300-some-odd bills out of committee. They only let seven bills out of committee. An individual senator or a congressman can't do a bloody thing, because if you're not a senior member of a committee, you've got no power.
Right. And maybe pessimist. Maybe I'm a pessimist, but I tend to err whenever it comes to politics. I tend to err on the side of these people really don't have the people's best interests at heart. And, I mean, I personally, I don't affiliate with being Democrat or Republican. It's all the same to me. And it's the same agenda. It's just in a different way. And, again, the people, I don't feel like we really elect anyone. It's the people who are picked to put in the position to be elected. And then if it's really someone they want in office, and when I say they, I mean people in the powers that be, people in a real position of power, okay? If it's someone they want to be in office, they will be in office. There will be a way that the votes or whatever will be gotten for that person to be in office. So I just don't trust any of it.
I think to a large degree.
No politician is afraid of you not voting for them. Politicians are afraid of you not funding their campaign. If you don't pay your way, you don't get nothing.
Yeah. When was the last time anybody...
Or if you don't have some type of nepotism, some type of... Your name carries you already. You've got to already have a foot in the door some kind of way. So you got to have the money. You got to have the name. Something going for you.
Yeah. And the machine funds you because you've been, or you will be groomed in order to follow their particular dictates. And once you get
Absolutely.
There, even if you have the people's interests at heart, once you get to D.C., you want to stay there.
Right.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Martin, I would like to ask you, what is your perspective on someone, say, Gary Johnson, who was a libertarian?
My perspective on him? What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. What do you think about him?
Well, he's a libertarian, so, you know, most libertarians will have most people's interests at heart, so I'm with him. I'm with Ron.
I voted for Gary Johnson, Joe.
Oh, cool.
2012.
Cool. You know, so, I mean, a libertarian, look, libertarians right now are the people that have, for the most part, people's interests at heart. However, let's say two or three years down the road, and assuming libertarians make real headway, if that's not going to happen, but let's say they did, that party eventually would become polluted because now that party would attract a psychopath because a psychopath would see that as a portal to getting elected.
Yeah, that's true.
But right now,
I can see Gary Johnson being a real contender in politics if you get beyond his, how can I, he just has a weak disposition when it comes to...
He has no charisma.
Yeah, he has no charisma. And
Ron Paul didn't have no charisma either.
He sure didn't.
I think he'll be a real contender.
Ron Paul didn't have no charisma, but he had some damn good ideas.
Yep, he had...
Ron Paul has a little more charisma than Gary Johnson. Gary Johnson just has, I don't know how to put it. The man just does not... I don't know how to put it.
He makes
it,
no impression on him. He makes no impression.
You know,
well, he was governor. The thing is, most libertarians are not career politicians. We're not out there to try to hypnotize the people. We like to present facts and get things done. So we're ordinary people. But the real politicians... They're the Mitt Romneys, they're the Perrys, they're the people who look good, that they would, if they would have been Hollywood models, you know.
What do you think
Ron
of Rand
Paul?
Paul?
Ron Paul was very simple in his charisma. He would say things like, we just need to stop meddling other people's business.
But he was around.
No, he would say some kooky stuff, too, that people can't handle. I think if he just left the kookiness.
Oh, okay,
himself.
I want to hear this. What kookiness?
There are some things that he just says that people cannot handle.
Oh, yeah,
when
but you said
the,
cookie. Like he said something which was nuts.
Okay, when he's in debate, he allows for people...
South Carolina, is that you?
No, that's me. Sorry about that.
He allows for his fellow debaters to get him off on a tangent. And when he goes off on a tangent and he gets off on what he's originally saying, he comes off as kooky.
No, but what did he say that was kooky?
I can't really remember directly what he was saying.
You know what
I
most people object to? The fact is, see, he seems like a doddering old uncle because he's this age now, but most people disagreed with his foreign policy because most people in America love war. Because as long as we're winning, it's rah, 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 siskumba. People misunderstood his particular policy of non-interventionism as being isolationism. I happen to be a person who believes mostly in isolationism because if we got back our manufacturing base and we weren't dependent upon other countries, then we wouldn't need to interfere in other countries' business because we're protected by the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean. We're lucky that we have Canada up north. We invaded Canada at one time. They never invaded us. Okay, so we're lucky for them.
And I completely agree. See, when Ron Paul starts talking about those things, he's great.
He sounds cool, but he never was.
He allows for his opponents to take him off on a tangent, and then he gets off subject, and then he wanders into other areas.
Oh, that I never noticed, but okay. I mean, that may be poor debating, but as far as kookiness, whatever he said was for the good of America. Because,
well, he just comes off as kooky.
Okay, he comes off as somebody like a doddering old uncle like John Stewart once said.
There you go.
But the thing is that if we got back our manufacturing base, now don't forget, it was the rules and regulations, okay, not just, and corporations are greedy, but the rules and regulations in taxes forced 6 million jobs out of the United States, which were blue-collar jobs, to go overseas, okay? Without, was it 10 million? 6 million jobs.
A lot of that had to do with EPA regulations, Joe.
Oh, God, and how about with the Clive Bundy thing? Yeah, the EPA, that's Agenda 21. That's coming in and saying, you can't hurt the tortoise, but we're going to give up 20,000 jobs so that the tortoise can remain alive, even though the tortoise is not even really endangered. The federal government owns something like what? How much land does the federal government own? They should own that because of environmental protection. Boom.
But it doesn't matter whether or not you feel they shouldn't own it. What Clive and Bundy did was wrong in a simple fact. They set up grazing zones for the cattle. Not only did he not pay his grazing fees that every other rancher paid, he decided, I'm going to allow my cattle to wander outside of this area and go wherever they want. That's just like my neighbor allowing their dog to cross boundary lines to come poop in my yard because they feel like, oh, you shouldn't own that.
No, that's not a good analogy. I'm going to disagree with you. Here's why. Bundy was in, his family was here in America before, it was around the 1870s, so before the territories became a state. Now, according to the premise of the United States government, the Constitution, and the, what started the revolution? What was, oh, Jesus, my brain. Did Thomas Jefferson wrote up the Declaration of Independence? America is supposed to be a country based on merit and private property rights. What gives the federal government, now that this is another reason why I'm not for the Constitution, what gives the federal government or any government the right to just swoop in and say, ah, this is your land, yeah, you've been here for a while, but now we're going to take it over for this particular reason?
Okay, hold on. Let's back up. Because now you said something that will cause every breath to be held if you would have said that on the show. You said you are not in favor of the U.S. Constitution.
I said that before. I said I'm not in favor of the
Constitution. You, sir, are a true libertarian.
Well, libertarians are usually in favor of the Constitution, but you have eminent domain in the Constitution. You have the General Welfare Clause in the Constitution, which has given the government too much power. I could have written up a better Constitution. Everybody here could have written up a better Constitution.
I've been screaming. I'm like, the Constitution is what gives the government so much federal power. Now, me personally, I'm not in the line of view and thinking that I think government has its role. But if you look at the context of the United States Constitution, especially versus the Articles of Confederation, you will see that the government gains its power through the U.S. Constitution. So those who are libertarian constitutionalists, I kind of find it contradictive somewhat.
Well, it is kind of contradictory. Most people,
Constitution wholeheartedly is designed to protect its citizens from governments, whether it's federal governments, state governments, and local governments.
I would say the Bill of Rights was, not the Constitution body itself. If you take a look at the Constitution body itself, the 14th Amendment eliminated slavery, but if you take a look at the Constitution today as it exists, slavery is legal. It's in the Constitution. If you are imprisoned, you are allowed to be a slave of the state.
Well, when you go to prison, you lose your rights, which I think is rightfully so. The first 10 articles of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, do appear in the first 10 articles of the United States Constitution, how they was asserted. But all in all, that 26 pages is a very, very handsome and good document.
What makes it bad is when
Congress passes statutes, and those statutes are taken by the agencies that they apply to, and the heads of those agencies interpret the statutes to mean one thing or the other. And they may not. And at a point when people think they do not is when they take them to court. Now you enter into a judge's determination of whether or not you're in violation of the original statute.
The very premise of the United States Constitution with its adaption was to give the federal government broader power. It has gotten larger and larger as time, as society has grown, as time has gone by. It's so general and broad that they are now interpreting it to mean something that probably the founding fathers did not mean it to be.
It's Congress that gives federal government powers. It's not the Constitution. Congress is what's doing that.
Well, but what your argument is, Bianchi, is that Congress is bastardizing the Constitution. My argument is that the Constitution, when they had that, I think it was 7 months worth of a convention and debate over, you know, what should be admitted, what should not be admitted. The thing is that it was mainly a debate about federal government versus states. Okay.
Yes.
And then when you had that, what happened? If you take a look at it historically, remember now, people are saying nowadays, we're taking what the founding fathers meant and we're twisting it. If you take a look at the Anti-Federalist Papers, there's a guy named Bluto, or whatever his name is. He specifically wrote a paper about what the General Welfare Clause would do to America at that particular time. He used their language. He was living in their time. He knew what every word meant. And he talked about the dangers if that particular clause, general welfare, was going to stay in the Constitution, what would happen?
Thomas Jefferson feared that much power, and that's partially why you ended up with the Bill of Rights. That's the only reason why he ended up signing on to it, because he was not in favor of this type of governing document, because it gave the federal government too much power, and he was worried about how much power it would have over the people. And we're trying to get from under British rule. But that document essentially was going to put us back in there. That's why we ended up, that's why he ended up writing the Bill of Rights.
And there was that, it was Hamilton. Now, this is a rumor. I don't have any documents to prove this. But it was rumored that he was an agent of the Rothschilds, which makes sense to me. I'm not saying it's absolutely true, but it makes sense. You also have inside the body of the Constitution eminent domain.
Yes.
Right then and there, you're giving the state the power to take away your property anytime it wishes.
Well, but it can only take away the property for public use, not private use.
But here's my thing.
But it doesn't do that.
Yes, it does.
We were under the Articles of Confederation. We were under that, which the state governed each state at will, as it wills. It allowed for the citizens of that state to have more power over law than what the Constitution has given us. And you went from that document and from building off of that. I know we were a new country, but from building off of that document, you went from that document to giving the federal Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, the federal government, more power of the state.
More power.
Because state law has to fall under the U.S. Constitution. The federal law trumps state law.
Well, you had to have a federal, law, suppose a Trump straight law. If you didn't have federal law abiding over state law, then state couldn't, then you would have to have a driver's license for each state you drove through.
Which would have been okay. First off, you wouldn't even need a driver's license. The state law should trump federal law, because the federal law is the law of the land. Then you have 435 people, which is what we have now, controlling all of us, as opposed to the sovereignty of the states. The states were supposed to have their own individual sovereignty, working in communion with everybody else. And
that wouldn't have worked out, Joe.
Well, that's
then
what they
you would
say,
have had, each
have,
state would have had its own currency, and so on and so on and so on and so
now,
on.
Now, when they entered the Union, they were supposed to give up certain sovereign rights. But the thing is that they had either 6 years or 8 years, 8 years, 6 years of the Articles of Confederation and eight prior presidents before Washington running the country before there was a usurpation of that power by Washington and by the others who signed the Constitution.
Now,
we had a government already.
I agree that the states should have a right to secede if they want to.
Hamilton wanted more like a monarchy. He wanted something like the lines of British rule.
Yep.
You had Madison and Jefferson, who were your states' rights, state sovereignty people. You had George Washington and the rest who were in the middle. That's why we have a hodgepodge of different ideals within the United States Constitution.
And I'm not even for states' rights. People believe that, well, you know, the states, they have 50 individual states. It, to me, is better than having one octopus that controls the whole entire nation and tells us what to do, such as Obamacare and everything else. But the thing is that when you have states' rights, I've made this particular type of analogy. If you're running away from the federal prison, so who cares? You're running into a state prison. The power of these particular states and the federal government, in my opinion, in order to have an America upon which the foundation was supposedly founded, was that these people are only supposed to protect our rights, not tell us what to do. Simple. You protect the borders, okay? And whatever else happens, we do it. Now, this idea about, let's say, for example, back during the gold strike, you had people who registered their gold with some sort of government office. It's a lot different than nowadays, where in order to have a gun, illegal to have a gun, you have to register it. So there's a difference between having something which is yours and registering it so that people will know that, let's say, this land belongs to you, as opposed to the law now coming down from the federal government telling the citizens, in order for you to have property, you've got to register it first.
But you know, if within the first seven articles of the United States Constitution, which comes out, it lies seven slave clauses, which would have still been there today if it was just based on states' rights. Those slave clauses was eliminated by passage by adoption of the 13th and 14th Amendments.
Yeah, and the Dred Scott rule was overturned as a result of intervention by the federal government, and morality took Trump at that particular time.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but if you look at it and you're arguing states' rights, and then you're arguing for the U.S. Constitution, those two ideals contradict themselves, because each state should have had the sovereign right to set their own rules and regulations, laws, guidelines, whatever.
But
and
they both
for the federal government to come in by a document to say, no, we no longer trust you to have that power, we're taking it from you. That's what that did. And I'm not a states' rights person, nor am I for slavery, but I'm like, when you look at the context of it, it's clear to see that this, the U.S. Constitution, that I am not against, it broadened the powers of the federal government.
And let's not.
So I'm just trying to figure out how, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let's not forget that the issue then with the Dred Scott decision was also that the states' rights, the states were also wrong, because morality trumps a parchment. They said that you could enslave people, and they were your people. They were your property. That by itself is morally wrong. That's why I believe in the Declaration of Independence a lot more than I do in the Constitution. If you take a look at the at what they had written up in the Declaration of Independence about their grievances against the king, compare that with what we have today. It's the same thing.
Well, the Declaration of Independence is not really a legal document as it pertains to the United States.
Neither is the Constitution. The Constitution, people believe we should apply, we should conform to it because it's a social contract. If you read the writings of Lysander Spooner, he makes it very clear, and this is something which, you know, he really had lit up a bulb in me. We didn't sign anything. Just because a bunch of people signed a document doesn't mean it's transferable down through generations. If I'm in a community and somebody else in another community wants to build some sort of church or other type of structure, and they say, we need funding. Let's go over to the other neighborhood and say to them, you know what? You owe us money because we want to build a church over here. Okay? In other words, I did not sign a contract in giving you the power to make yourself my boss. The foundation of America is nobody's my boss unless I enter into mutual consensual agreement with that particular person. I have not entered into any agreement with the government. They're the ones with the guns. They're the ones with 6 million laws on the books. They're the ones who have had SCOTUS either bribed or intimidated or extorted in order to come down with decisions which do not work on my behalf.
Well, Joe, but there wasn't any way to do it. I mean, you had to have people that came to a convention mm-hmm. and agreed in order to get things started. Then from that point on, the amendments came by ratification of each state.
Yeah, but that doesn't, you have to see, according to the foundation of an America, not any other country in Europe, but of America, I'm supposed to have personal freedom by rights given to me by God. I'm an agnostic, so I believe my rights do not come from God. I believe since I was born, those rights are mine.
But your rights in this country come by way of the 14th Amendment.
No, that's what
yes,
they
it
want
does.
You to believe. That's what they want you to believe. My rights
yeah,
come
but,
as being
but,
a human being.
Well,
I don't need
that.
The Constitution to tell me what my rights are, because I'll tell you something. If you take a look at the Greek Constitution, okay, which is going by the same principles as the American Constitution, that Constitution is supposed to be the law of the land. No governmental official can be prosecuted. That's in their Constitution.
Well, then how would I ever take you to court then?
You can't. Take a look at, you know, go online. Take a look at the Greek
If I have a grievance against you, if I have a grievance against you, then what right do I have to pull you into a court of law where it can be enforced?
You don't.
Joe, you made a great point when you said
I usually
that
do.
You are agnostic, that you don't believe that your rights come from God, as most people who believe in the Constitution does. You say your rights come from birth.
Yeah.
And you made a great point because you have to look at each and every citizen that lives here. We all don't believe the same. So if they don't believe it in God or God, I mean, how do you work that?
By people mutually coming together with mutual self-interest and saying, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Mormon, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and as long as we conform to the moral law of do unto others as you will have them do unto you, I'm okay. And I can say to you, look, you can believe in God all you want, but don't violate the terms of our agreement. And he can say to me, look, you can be as much of an atheist, a heathen as you want. Just don't violate our agreement.
So my next question to you was, what do you feel about the separation of church and state? I got into a debate on Facebook yesterday. I am a believer in Christ
mm-hmm.
with another
mm-hmm.
believer. He has posted about this atheist group who's planning to place this statue.
The satanic statue right next to right.
Yeah. Okay. My argument was, under the Constitution, they have the freedom to do that. There is no, the government is not supposed to take to acknowledge one religion over the other. Me personally, I don't think the government should be acknowledging any religion whatsoever.
That's my answer to you. There you go.
Because religion is personal to me. Your faith is personal. It shouldn't be subjected to every single body. But I couldn't understand. They couldn't understand how I can argue. I said I'm arguing it from a legal standpoint. We live in a country where this document says we have freedom. Yes, you can say that the founding fathers had some belief in God, whatever you want it, whatever.
Yeah, there's an argument
about
that.
Our nation was not formed.
But let me answer your question.
Okay.
Here's the thing. There should be separation between government and religion, but government operations, schools, governmental offices, they're funded by taxpayers, right? Okay.
Right.
So in order to satisfy all taxpayers, regardless of their religion, my particular thing is this, is that there was, to illustrate this, there was a case last year, I think it was, about whether or not during, I think at a school, should Christians, or should the nativity be shown? I say on school property, if it's a public school, no, the nativity should not be shown. But also, they should not prevent people from going off campus to have their particular religious types of observations. You should not have the nativity. You should not have the atheist presenting their views. You should be nothing except secular. But that does not prevent people who are religious or non-religious from going anywhere they want to celebrate their particular beliefs. So I don't believe in the nativity being shown at public schools. I don't believe that the satanic statue should be allowed. I don't believe that God should be in any kind of document that the government comes down with, because a God in one religion, now forget about my being an agnostic, is not the same kind of God in the Jewish religion or in the Mormon religion. So God should be out because it's a religious connotation. Who needs God in there? Just
so
protect the rest.
I take it you feel the same way about prayer.
Yeah, do not. Look, if a person wants to pray, let's say in the classroom, there was a person who was expelled from the classroom because she refused to pray, okay? The teacher should not force students to stand up and pray, okay? She shouldn't force them to stand up and pray. And those who were forced to stand up should not be forced to pray. Leave people's religion out of everything. The government should just go about its business, let you preach, let you pray, let you worship the way you want without governmental support or non-support. Just be neutral.
What do you feel about government being in marriage?
God, please, forget about it. You mean you got to get married by going to the freaking government and having them tell you, okay, now we approve of the marriage?
Well, the reason that is, Joe, is that if you have disputes in the contract, you have to come to a government body in order to sell it.
That's a contract.
They have to be able to recognize the contract. In order for them to recognize the contract, they had to have something to do in order to make the contract.
Nope. There's a difference.
So how do a couple dispose of property then?
Because
that's accumulated during the marriage.
Mutual consent by contract. You get if I want to get married to you, she says to me, babe, I want this in our particular contract, and I say I don't want it, and we hassle and haggle about it. They have the guns. The government should not be in anybody's business.
Well, who enforces the contract?
Yeah, but the contract is made by mutual consent.
But who enforces the contract, Joe?
But the government also puts down stipulations about what kind of rules you can have in the contract.
Actually, states only require you to register that you're married. They can't tell you that you got to get married you can get married by a dope addict if you want to. But the process that you went through, they call...
No. You have to be married by somebody who is ordained by the state that you're getting married in.
True. You can go on the internet and you can pay $14.95, become ordained, and it does not make any difference what state you're in.
But they still have to be ordained. So that means that the government still has a say in your marriage process. Why can't you two get married, sign a contract with your faith-based leader or whoever, whoever in your faith or non-faith is going to marry you, sign a contract? There is a reason why we have civil courts. if you want to separate that contract, you want to end the contract, and you want to, for the sake of Christians, we would go to our pastors. Let the church handle that. I don't see any point in the government getting involved in marriage.
Well, the government has to be involved, and I don't know about your state, but in my state, a head of an atheist group can marry people as long as they fill out the registration, registered with to the state within a certain number of days. They don't care who the person was. It's the registration that accounts here in the state of Missouri. Now, the reason the government has to get involved, once you put that registration in place, it says that you, the female and the male, or however it is today, have entered into a contract. And if you have a dispute in that contract of divorce or whatever, the government agency has the ability to enforce that contract.
But that's a different thing.
The only reason why the government got into, that's a totally different thing. The only reason why the government got into marriage in the first place was to regulate who can and cannot marry.
That's set by the state. That's not by the federal government.
Federal
government has nothing to do with who can marry.
Panky, you're in construction. You were at one time before you retired. You were into buildings. Okay, you had to enter into contracts with another person. That doesn't mean that the government can say, well, since you're entering into this contract, we now have the power to see if you two should even enter into this particular contract. That's what you're saying about marriage. Marriage to me means if I enter into a relationship with somebody, only me and she have the right to decide what to do during the marriage and after the marriage. Now, you're talking about enforcement of it. Okay.
Well, let's stop right there where you just left. So a 40-year-old man can marry a 12-year-old girl.
No, common sense
ain't got nothing to do with it. We're talking about the government regulation. Joe, 40-year-old man should be able to marry a 12-year-old girl.
If he wants to marry the 12-year-old girl and that family allows it, which they've done in the past, that's between them and those families at the same time.
And I agree with you on that accord, but what is it now? States set the age limit.
The
of course, there are a little bit more that... than which people can get married.
I know, the states have taken up too much power.
We cannot live in complete anarchy. It just does not happen.
Yes, you can. Anarchy works. And I'll tell you how anarchy works. For example, I'm not for the civil courts. If I enter into a relationship with somebody, and I'm not, marriage or business, we enter into a contract. We also have terms within that contract that states who is going to be the arbitrator. I don't like the idea that some jackass from some place I never heard of before, who is a judge of someone I've never met before, is now going to judge whether or not my contract is null and void or whether it has any type of so-called legal standing.
Courts today, Joe, respect arbitration.
But arbitration is non-binding.
Arbitration is binding. Court very seldom. A judge will not... change the findings in arbitration. I never see them do so.
Okay. All right. I may be wrong on that. The thing
say you and I are married. We have a bank account. We have a house. We have furniture. Now, in the contract, we said we would split everything 50-50, okay?
Right.
Now, I find out you cheat on me. So I'm
right.
like, you cheat on me, you get nothing because you're the one who broke the terms of the marriage. So but you're like, wait a minute, we have this contract.
Well,
how do you get through you?
Have to have part of the terms of the contract, the fact that if I cheated on you, that's how you get that particular property. If you don't have it in there, you don't get that property.
Right, but how do you enforce it?
Because you and I will agree to go to Acme Arbitration Company and have that judge tell us who is right, who is wrong. And then it comes down to enforcement. I believe in frontier justice. I believe you wrong me, I should seek restitution without having to go to a third party.
Well, that's why you have to have guns.
That's right.
To beat you over the head.
That's right. How do you think this country was, outside of the way the country was founded, how do you think the country was formed after that? How do you think territories became states? How do you think the Wild Frontier got the name the Wild Frontier? They settled their disputes through the natural
Well, many
way.
Laws came out of that, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, many laws. I'm saying that's why we had many regulations of people just doing what they want to do.
The West, the laws, as a matter of fact, the West not only established laws, but they settled disputes by that method. And by the time the formalities, the form laws reached the West, they just used what was already there.
That's right. And then the government came along and bastardized those laws to put 6 million more laws on the books. You had sheep herders, cattlemen, ranchers, and farmers all disputing who owned what land, who could cross the land, who could put wire up, blah, blah, blah. What do? They shot each other. They got tired of killing off each other. So they settled their disagreements. Then laws came about.
No.
Yeah.
You want to call Vincent on the show? Tell him you're anti-constitution.
I said that before, but nobody, you know, reacted.
No,
to
you
it.
Didn't say that on this show. You did.
Yes,
not
I did.
Say
I
are.
Said I was not
you
for the.
You did not say you're. Okay, this is what I'm gonna tell you. This is how you do it. I'm not for constitution. I'm not for prayers in school.
Oh, really?
And
that will set off a firestorm. Okay,
oh,
next time.
Oh, that will set off all kinds of.
Well,
fire.
See, I say basically. I say basically the same thing you say, Joe, because I'm a strong Second Amendment person, and I'm also strongly for the Constitution, too. So,
you know what you are, Pankey? You are more for the Bill of Rights than you are for the Constitution.
I don't understand how you can say you are a small state person and be for the Constitution. I just don't get it. To me, sounds so contradictive. It just does not make sense.
Well, you know what it is? It's because of the way that we were taught when we were in civics classes for about, 14 years? And then we believe, and we still want to believe, that the federal government is not as corrupt as we know it is. Abstractly, we know the federal government is corrupt beyond belief. People have said,
they will say that the federal government is corrupt, but they will say that the Constitution itself, like, Sticks will say the Constitution was put in place to protect the little guys, was put in place to protect the minority from the majority, and that basically the Constitution is being bastardized by Congress, and the federal government is running rampant and working outside the perimeters of the Constitution.
Well, I had one time felt the same way until I read Lysander Spooner, and he just made it so clear that the Constitution is not even a contract. And, you know, when you take a look at the history of the Federalists versus the Anti-Federalists, you just have to say, you know what, this isn't the way I was taught in history class or in civics classes. No, I'm not for the Constitution. I'm for the Bill of Rights. And then when I've had disagreements with other people, I can write up a better Constitution myself.
Yeah.
How come this show was so long? Where's Tracy?
Oh,
show ended at 11 o'clock.
She's gone off air. We're off air.
Yeah, but I mean,
she used to have a 3-hour show. Now it's cut down to 2 live.
No, and it's not. It's still 3 hours live. It's 9 to 12.
Oh, so everybody's
no,
going on?
It's not live. Her live show went off at 11 o'clock. Tracy
no,
was in a car.
Live show went off. Her live show went off 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Well, it's almost
and it
an hour.
It starts, well, here in Central Standard Time, it started at 9, and it goes off
it
Blog Talk
8.
Radio. It start it well 8
at
o'clock 11. Is Eastern Standard. I said Central Standard Time. It starts at 9 and goes off at 11.
Central. It starts at 8 Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. So it's a 3-hour show.
Oh, okay.
How can it be 8 Central? And
no,
it's
no,
you right.
If it's Central,
it
the standard time is 1
starts
hour later.
At,
it's
central.
Central.
It starts at 9.
If it's 9 Central,
Eastern
then it's 10 Eastern.
Yeah, but I'm on another show that starts at 7 in the morning till 9 o'clock. Then I get on Tracy's show. At 8 o'clock. In the morning, while the other show is going on, Tracy's show is not on yet.
By the time you get to Tracy's show, it's already 10 a.m. here Eastern. Because Central is an hour behind. Central is an hour behind Eastern Standard Time.
I know that.
So if it's 10 o'clock it's 9 o'clock there where you're at.
Well, but we only have a few minutes anyway, right? Okay. Because is everybody else gone?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
Not everybody. staying someone that long for the after show.
Oh, okay.
Unless we're disagreeing and we're getting into heated debate. She muted May, so.
Well, see, Mays and I, we go back a long way, too. She never agrees with me. I don't care if I say it's raining out, it's sunshine. If I say it's sunshine, it's raining out. She'll never agree.
All right, Joe. Well, I'll talk to you, catch you somewhere.
Okay. And, yeah, and you won't start your own show. Okay.
No, I don't have time for that.
All right. All right, Bianchi. I'll see you when I see you.
All right.
And, Diva, it's good talking to you.
You too, Joe. Thanks for bringing a calmness to the show today, but in light of your other views, I don't know how much longer that's going to last.
Man, that's all right. I'm used to firestorms. Just tell Tracy that when she sees 111, it could be me.
she answers the 111 call.
Oh, she does?
The
all right.
Call. Yes. Normally, we're not this conciliatory, and mostly I'm the one who is in opposition. I'm typically in opposition of everybody, even Stanley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even about relationships? Because Stanley and I agreed about 90-95% when it comes to relationships.
Yeah, we disagree on relationships and religion.
Oh, okay, so you and I are, okay, we're bound to have some battles then.
Yeah, and then I agree with Tracy and Jeff on religion and race. Somewhat on relationships, but definitely on religion. But politics, we vehemently tend to disagree, and me and Stanley tend to agree when it comes to politics.
Oh, okay. So just get your guns ready then, because next time I come back, if they're going to talk about relationships, all right.
No. I'd rather you talk about religion than relationships. Let's not talk about relationships. Let's talk about, I'd rather you go to religion, but then again, they don't normally really like to get too deep into religion, but I'm going to be ready. I hope they're ready.
Well, do you have a show? Because I'd like to talk about relationships, too.
No, I don't. They keep trying to get me to get my own show.
Oh, okay. All right. So, we only have a few minutes. So, you think that men and women, you believe in roles for men and women, that men should act like men and women should act like women, and the marital situation as it is today should be maintained according to those particular precepts?
I believe that relationships should be individually geared to the two people who are in those relationships. Now, for me...
Mm-hmm.
I do believe in gender roles for the type of relationship that I want to have. It's just
best
that way.
So you believe that the woman should rarely, if ever, pay for a date or rarely, if ever, initiate, and that she should just be pretty, and that's the way to really make a relationship work?
I do believe that it depends on the courting. If you're courting...
Mm-hmm.
I believe a man should pay and pick up for everything because you are showing
that
woman that you are capable of taking care of her.
Oh.
Now, once you're in an established relationship, it can go either way.
Once you're there. So once the man spends his money out, then he can find out whether or not the relationship is actually going to start. But if it doesn't start, he's out a few $100 going from day to day.
Why would you spend that much in a courting phase to begin with?
Well, you shouldn't. Okay, look, I'm over 40. I am not spending that kind of money. But there are guys who are, you know, younger than 40 who believe that it's their duty to impress a woman and therefore show her a really good time. And I have nothing to say against anything like that, except that there are women out here who use you for that. So I'm not spending money. And I'll tell you something. There have been women that have been interested in men until they say, well, why don't we take a walk in the park, or why don't we go to a movie, and then they're not interested because they want to be entertained.
Well, you're right, and that way you let go of those type of women. You know,
of course,
I don't believe in premarital sex. So if I tell a guy, well, I'm practically a fiance right now, so it doesn't matter. But previously when I was dating, I would tell a guy, I don't plan on